If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ellen, please. I just got home. Don't rush me.
Anyway, this is Super Dave on the Alt Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys. But first, these commercials.
Watch your back, my little immigrant friend.
That's hot.
Whore!
That's hot.
Whore!
That's hot.
Whore!
That's hot.
Don't mention that whore to me.
Oh, no. She's a whore.
I'm a whore. I'm a whore.
Well, I would be lying to you if I didn't say that there were moments that I thought to myself, whore, this isn't such a bad way to earn a living.
You're a whore. A filthy, filthy whore.
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 Whore. Why don't you go back to your home on Whore Island?
Whore!
This is not how I wanted to wake up.
Where is that whore?
Who's your whore? Who's your whore?
I know how I am, so that's fine.
And now,
thank you. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, we're back. Thank you.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Monday, the 25th of February.
Don't make me watch the Oscars anymore.
I know.
Please.
Yeah.
Don't make me watch the Oscars anymore.
Here's what's funny. Every year we're bored because there's about 3.5 hours of stuff we don't care about, and
right.
Then there's a couple of awards. And every year, for some reason, we allow ourselves to get hyped back into it.
I know.
You know, they talk so much about it in the press, you know, and the entertainment news and who's going to win. And you kind of get wrapped up in it. And then you forget that it's just a dead zone.
Yeah.
With 99% of awards that you don't care about.
It's like you keep going out on a date with a girl that for some reason you've forgotten was a crappy date.
Right.
You know? Oh, you know what? Yeah, we went out before.
Really good, right?
Yeah, we went out before. Good. Let's go out again. Let's go out again this Sunday.
It's been a
geez.
While.
But she's dumb and she doesn't put out.
No.
That's right.
She never puts out.
Never.
Why won't
Not
she
once.
Put out?
I don't know. Why do you watch it live? What's wrong with
I know,
you?
I know.
I enjoyed it just fine.
I was thinking the same thing. I was watching it live, but I was thinking to myself, why am I not taping this starting an hour later and
exactly.
just flying through the stuff I don't care about?
Well, I did that, but unfortunately, and this is why I can't do this anymore, unfortunately, I'm the guy who's supposed to bring in the clips, so I can't just fast forward through all the stuff that I don't care about because I have to see if there's anything funny that I need to bring in for the show.
Well, no one does it like you, Bean. And
so I did start, I'm retiring. I did start it late. I did exactly that. In fact, yesterday I watched Gone Baby Gone while the Oscars were on, which, by the way, that's an upper right there. That's a cheery movie. That's a cheery little movie right there, isn't it?
Nothing's ever made me happier.
Woo! So I watched that, and then I watched the Oscars, and I did fast forward through all the commercials and stuff, but I had to watch all the bad show. And then afterwards, I had to go back and then go through the whole thing again so I could bring clips. So it ended up being, you know, twice as much Oscar as a normal person.
Excellent.
So, wow. It was a very, very painful night. Oh, my God. And you know what's funny is I watched the – and Lisa, you probably did too – the
yes.
Independent Film Awards.
I did.
The
I watched
Awards
the Spirit
on
Awards.
Very entertaining program.
Yes.
Just zipped on by. Funny
I watched
people.
That too.
Everybody was relaxed and comfortable and having fun, and it wasn't dumb. And Rainn Wilson ran out into the audience and was pummeling Philip Seymour Hoffman mm-hmm. in a fight between the tables. I mean, that's the kind of entertainment I want to see at an award show.
That's how the show ended, as a matter of fact.
Yes. It was really funny. It was a good show.
Very entertaining show. Am I right about that? I mean,
yep.
No offense to Jon Stewart, but it's just there's a certain level of this is so stuffy that no one's enjoying it when you're watching the Academy Awards.
Plus, they get to curse, which is really
that
funny.
That is good.
Yeah. But
And
but
I thought Jon Stewart did a good job.
Well,
I enjoyed him.
He was fine.
But I didn't watch it twice like Bean. You can't listen to Bean. You watched it twice.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. This is not a normal experience.
He was fine, but then again, there was a lot of stuff that you didn't need that was you know, just average, and it just was for a show that long. If something's going to make the cut, and a show that long, it better be great. You know what I mean? You can't, bring back people to give acceptance speeches because they got played off too early. You can't do everything you can to extend the show.
I like that.
I liked it too. It was one of my favorite moments.
It was fine, but it didn't need to be. I'm just saying, when it's 3.5 hours long, every decision needs to be weighed. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. And
no more foreigners are allowed to win the thing either.
Well,
I'm over
then we
that.
Got no one.
I'm over the foreigners who can't speak the English getting up and on my TV and talking. I'm over that.
Are they giving us awards in France? I don't think so.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Not.
We don't really
do
French movies, though, is the thing.
No.
I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm just saying. You know, we could all learn from Heidi Klum. I don't know if you saw that with I didn't watch the Ryan Seacrest coverage of the red carpet.
No, I did not either.
Because I'm so happy to not have to deal with that now that Joan Rivers is dead.
Mm-hmm.
He was asking Heidi Klum a very important question. We could all learn from her.
Who are you looking forward to seeing tonight at the Oscars?
Nobody. Really?
Oh, thank God. Thank God somebody said it.
Who are you looking forward to seeing at the Oscars? Nobody.
Why is she there?
I don't know. She was there with Seals.
Give your seat with someone who wants to be there.
You know what it was? She was the one that there was a bunch of commercials for. I think it was Diet Coke.
Oh.
And you could
win. I don't know. I fast forward.
Yeah. Damn you. And one of the things you could do, they're raising money for charity or something like
okay.
that. And one of the things you could do is win her dress.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I see.
All right.
Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, oh, Bean's going to make that ugly.
Seriously. Why? Just because I want to scrape some DNA off of it?
Yes.
Grow some Heidi Klums in the basement?
Look, I don't understand why anybody would want clothes that were worn by a celebrity. It's not like you get to meet the celebrity.
No.
Right.
But I think that's why she was there. But she was not interested in anyone there, really.
Wow. She's an honest
that's awesome.
Girl.
Yeah.
I saw some of the Ryan was horrible yesterday, by the
was
way,
he?
Just
yeah.
horrible. And but I did bring in one clip that I think will be useful to us on this show.
Oh,
and there, no context is necessary because you can hear this any day from Ryan.
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
I mean, that's really that's Ryan for you right there.
That's quite
sums it up right there.
Yep.
Yeah, it was awful.
I drink your milkshake.
What was that?
Is that Rodney?
Oh. Yeah.
Was that Rodney Bigginheimer?
I drink your milkshake.
Oh.
Wait a minute. That doesn't sound like him.
It's Rodney doing his tough
it's
guy
him
voice.
Him trying to be 100%. Javier Bardem. Listen,
boom.
Listen
he's
again.
Trying to talk low?
Yeah.
I drink your milkshake.
No way. You slowed that down.
I swear on the Holy Bible, may I die right now if I slow
down. Oh, that would be so great.
That is 100%. Oh. That is Rodney from my hard-hitting interview with him last night.
Your hard-hitting interview with him?
Yeah.
I drink your milkshake.
What?
Is it Mike? The funniest part is Mike.
Is there more?
Well, I mean, there was more.
Who
but
cares?
That's all that matters.
Really? That's
well,
it?
I thought
that's
there
all
might
of it?
We would like to hear the rest of the interview, if you don't mind.
It,
so,
I mean,
at
it
some
was
point.
Nothing. I was talking to him because I was in studio last night filling in for Nicole, and I was just asking him about his show coming up
right.
in 5.5 hours. And he says, it's a special about the Oscars. And I said, how do you feel about the Oscars? How do you feel about
the Oh, Rodney's special about the Oscars.
Have you seen good. There Will Be Blood? Please let me hear the catchphrase.
I drink your milkshake.
That is awesome. Unbelievable.
Come on.
Unbelievable. Pretty Does awesome. He still not know who you are, by the way?
I'm going to say yes.
He does.
I made a lot of references to tomorrow on the show, Kevin and Bean, blah, blah, blah. But he was really nice to me, and
he's not mean to you in person.
Yes, he is.
Just because he hates
usually,
you.
Usually. Usually. I mean, when he can make the correlation between us.
Is he aware that you're the one that threw him up against the fence?
No.
He doesn't remember
no way.
That. One of Mike's first days here. He's all running. He's like, what are you doing here? He threw him up against the fence.
He's some strange homeless guy.
And then Rodney said,
I drink your milkshake.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
That's good right there. You guys see Jimmy Kimmel last night?
Mm-mm.
No.
He had his response video to I'm effing Matt Damon.
Oh,
and
no
kidding. It was pretty spectacular. So we'll have to get that. I think
I'm
we have
excited.
A little bit of it. Let's let me see if I can pot up Omar's studio. All right.
I'm Ben Affleck. Tell you another 12 inch kid. I said I'm Ben Affleck.
He said he's Ben Affleck. Hey, Sarah. He's got bigger
and then it,
nice.
And then it goes on. And it's like a We Are the World thing. And there's a choir. And in the choir is, you know, Robin Williams and all these huge stars.
Oh, my God.
It was really one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. But
I would have liked to have seen Jimmy's show. And I would have liked to have seen the Barbara Walters special. But I had 30 hours of Oscars to watch. So
yeah, Barbara Walters was pretty boring. She bores me.
But she interviewed Ellen Page, who I love. And I really wanted to see that.
Yeah, Ellen was okay.
Because I love her.
Yeah.
And then didn't she interview Billy Ray Cyrus's daughter?
I don't know. I didn't see
I
that part.
I think Miley was on it, yeah.
I didn't see that part.
I saw part of that.
All I saw was Harrison Ford, who just
Oh, how is that?
He just is such a douchebag with that earring. Have you seen that?
No. He's so cool.
He's just, I don't know. He and Barbara loves him, and she spends the whole time just, I don't know. I'm
gushing.
So bored with people that don't ask any questions that are – you know, at all difficult, or it's just like a fluff piece.
Yeah.
I don't need to see that.
Not everyone can pull off the earring. Daniel Day-Lewis had an earring last night.
It too, yeah.
Yeah.
But he can do it.
He can kind of do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, you're afraid of him a little bit because he says,
I drink your milkshake.
Sure.
Wow. I'm surprised Rodney, A, went to that movie, and B, recognized that as the catchphrase.
Oh, he didn't.
He didn't.
He hadn't seen the movie. I had to prep him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had to give him some like,
live I would
notes.
Give anything to hear you prepping him. Did you record that?
Yeah, I mean, I okay. got it all. It's all not right, very interesting, but I'll play it for you.
I drink your milkshake.
On today's Kevin and Bean Show, we got some Oscar highlights.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll go quickly.
That would be tough to do.
Yeah. They need to have more songs from one movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Can we talk
True.
About that? Yeah, we'll talk
but,
about that.
Well, they need to all suck, too, on yeah. top of it. They not only need to be from the same film, they need to all blow.
You're going to die because of Python Attack. You may not be aware of that yet, but that is.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
That was not high on my list of things to worry about this morning until you said that.
Going down. People are going down. Ralph's going to be here. He's going to rip the lid off the whole Larry the Cable Guy controversy.
Omar took the K-Rock microphones to movie theaters this weekend that were showing it, too, by the way.
Yes, he did. That was pretty good. So we got some highlights of that.
Speaking of people are going down.
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
There's just no commenting on that. Plus K-Rock's World Tour 2008, destination number 8. We're going to make the announcement, and I want to go. I'm just letting you know right up front that whoever wins, I will be your plus one.
Oh, okay.
Not offering, just telling you. That's right. The way it's going to have to be. Plus, we talked to Johnny Knoxville about the his new band, Knoxville's Bloody Pants. And we got some highlights of that coming up, too, in the 6 o'clock hour. So stick around for that. We got Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Ralph has joined us in studio for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you who did not go to see Larry the Cable Guy's movie this weekend. Thank you so much.
How about that?
I've never been more happy to be wrong than I was there.
Yes.
And boy,
way
were
wrong.
You wrong.
Not even in the top 10, right?
Larry the Cable Guy movie, Witless Protection, not in the top 10 this week.
That is awesome.
That is good news.
America rejected it, gave it the big finger, said, F you, you fat F.
Those who weren't with us on Friday, Kevin, I think, was speaking for all of us, fearing that it would be the number one movie in America this weekend, but fortunately that did not come to pass.
He bet me he was going to be the number one movie in America, by the way.
So did
pay
I bet?
Up, bitch!
Did I actually bet money?
Yes!
All right, I'll get you.
Pay me!
How much is it?
$100.
I think it was $5.
Oh, you don't remember if you bet, but now
I
know how much it is.
Now I remember it was $5.
It was $50. Yeah, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Vantage Point, number one, made $24 million at the box office this weekend.
Nice.
Jumper was number two. All right, you don't have great taste. But at least you had taste enough not to go see Larry the Cable Guy movie.
I was thinking about that Jumper last night, Ralph. That movie made as much money in its opening weekend as There Will Be Blood has made so far in the theaters.
Yeah, well.
What's going on with that?
Well, it's not in as many screens, as they say, as a movie like Jumper. But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. We live in weird times. The Spiderwick Chronicles did well, though. It was number three at the box office for its second weekend. Step Up to the Streets was number four.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, it's good dancing, and they'll dance, and it's good dancing.
I love it when that guy says,
I drink your milkshake.
That's good.
Not in Step Up to the Streets at all.
Oh, no.
Fool's Gold was number five, definitely maybe number six. Be Kind, Rewind, the new Jack Black comedy, came in at number seven. Juno was number eight.
Juno?
Number nine was Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. And There Will Be Blood, rounding out your top 10 at the box office.
I drink your milkshake.
Kevin, you see the Jack Black? I know you were excited about that one.
No, I saw Vantage Points. I only had time
that?
For one. It pushed the imagination.
You know,
pushed your believability. You go, oh, come on. Well, now, come on. Oh, come on. It was all right.
Well.
I like that kind of movie, but it was just all right.
If Kevin starts to get analytical in your movie, you know you've got some major plot holes to fill up there. Everybody was talking about the Oscars, of course, this weekend, and last night was the major ceremony. Personally, I thought it was desperately boring.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Wow, was it a bad Oscars. For the 80th anniversary Oscars, it blew. And let me tell you something. Jon Stewart did not do a good job, in my opinion.
I thought he did fine.
I thought he was just average. I think part of the problem is he didn't have weeks to you know, prepare for it as he normally does because of the writer's strike.
But there's also
a lot of misses.
But a lot of it is perspective, I think, when you host that show. You can't go in there thinking like, oh, isn't this stupid? I'm so above all this. Because the minute you take that position, you're telling the audience that we're wasting our time.
I didn't get that from him. Is that how he struck you?
Yeah. Hmm. Just like, oh, well, that was fascinating. Geez, look, let's all pat ourselves on the back. It's like him making fun of the Oscars on The Daily Show, but you can't do that when you're in the show. You got to try to
move
it along and sell it and have a good time and be as entertaining as possible and join the party. Don't sit back in the other side of the room saying, look at these assholes. Oh, look at those drunk assholes over there. This is ridiculous. You got to get in there and have a beer and start mixing it up, you know?
So he should have been drinking?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He should have been drinking. Here are your major award winners. Best Picture, of course, No Country for Old Men was the big winner, as were the Coen brothers, who also won for Director and Screenplay, Adapted Screenplay as well, so good for them. Daniel Day-Lewis, no surprise there for There Will Be Blood.
Drink your milkshake.
Sorry, Ralph. Can't wait for the setup.
Couldn't wait for the freaking setup.
I drink your milkshake.
Okay, sorry. In the future show of I'll say, I think we have a little piece of Daniel Day-Lewis.
I drink your milkshake.
No, you wait until we finish it.
Well, actually, that's exactly what it'll go like, because we are dealing with Kevin. So
Kevin will have forgotten this conversation.
Absolutely.
What
are talking about?
Surprise of the evening for Best Actress, Marion Cotillard was the big winner.
Ralph, you're finally on board with her, aren't you?
I've been on board with her for some time now, Bean. She's beautiful and charming and just cuter than
lovely.
Heck. Dark Horse, absolutely. No one expected that. No one saw that one coming. Another big surprise, very pleasant surprise for me personally, because this is the one I wanted to win. Tilda Swinton picked up
absolutely.
An award for Best Supporting Actress for her performance in Michael Clayton, which was just freaking unbelievable.
Could I just suggest that perhaps she wear a dress that's a little flattering, maybe do her hair, and hey, how about a tiny, just a little bit of makeup?
That's her thing. That's her.
It's a bad thing.
She's famous for not wearing any makeup. She usually wears men's clothes. I was surprised she was wearing a dress at all. Usually she wears a suit of some kind.
She is
glow in
hideous.
The dark white. Then she was wearing
black.
She's
Ziggy Stardust.
And as she got up, I thought, oh, this is not good.
I watched it on mute. I was in the studio. I thought it was Conan O'Brien with AIDS. I was like, damn, Conan O'Brien's got cancer.
O'Brien with AIDS.
That's her thing. She's very
ugly.
Avant-garde.
Not ugly. Bean said avant-garde. She's very out there, sort of
ugly
weirdo, and does not. She isn't. When you see her made up, she's a beautiful woman.
Very pretty. How about trying that then?
Well, she doesn't really care.
Yeah, it shows
about that.
She's hideous.
Yeah,
she's a hideous blow pig.
Oh my god!
She's a brilliant actress.
Maybe
she sure is. She's been great in so many movies. I mean, she's one of those actresses who you knew eventually was going to win an Oscar, and I'm glad it finally happened.
Yeah, and best supporting actor, of course, Javier Bardem. No Country for Old Men, his performance in there, who luckily I caught a little taste of the pre-Oscar show when Regis Philbin called him Xavier Bardem. That was my favorite part
really?
Of the evening.
No.
You will hear that clip coming up after the news.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the show by far. Favorite part of the Oscars happened before the Oscars and after the Oscars.
That was the funniest moment.
I love Regis in the beginning and then the Walter special afterwards. She is Larry King. She's a female Larry King. She's spectacular.
Wow. Would you play a guitar for me? Here's a guitar, Ellen Page. Sing a song for me.
She's horrible.
Really? Is that what we're going to get to? Harrison Ford just wanted to slap her. He just feels obligated to do an interview with her once every 10 years because he's got a movie coming out. And you can just see it in his eyes. He wants to reach across the room and just throttle the life out of her. Very entertaining stuff.
So she can be more like him.
I like Harrison Ford when he's interviewed. I find the fact that he's a smart guy. He has no canned answers. He always gives very thoughtful responses to whatever BS questions he's being asked. But I love watching him hate the interviewers. That's my favorite part of watching him be interviewed.
And of course, this is what Ryan said about him.
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
Best original screenplay went to Diablo Cody for Juno. Which was nice to see. She was rattled to her core to win. It was
she was
a genuinely charming moment.
If you'd have walked into the strip club that she was on the pole 4 years ago in Minnesota and said, all right, somebody in this room is going to win an Academy Award, who would have picked the stripper as the one in the room who would have won it?
I always pick the stripper. It's just standard operational procedure for me, just in case. That's who I always point to. And best animated feature was Ratatouille. No surprise there as well for Brad Bird and the kids over at Pixar. Congratulations to those guys and to our pal Patton Oswalt, who, of course, is the voice of the rat in Ratatouille. Couple other showbiz stories while we have a few minutes. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are definitely expecting another child. Everyone knows by now, according to People magazine and anyone who was watching the Independent Film Spirit Awards on Saturday. You couldn't help but see her belly sticking out of her dress. So everyone relax. They're going to have another baby. Good times. Start the countdown.
Yeah.
Let's all start manning the hospitals and watch her go in and out.
She must be – I don't know how it's possible. I think she was hotter on Saturday than I've ever seen her.
She was glowing.
She did look beautiful.
Couldn't be more beautiful.
She was glowing with the glowness of motherhood glowing. Pregnant women. Oh, look at her. She's so beautiful. She's pregnant. No, she's not. She's just sweaty and hormonal. Stop it. Britney Spears had a great weekend.
Yeah. Really?
She was finally able to see her two sons again.
Oh, is that good for her?
She had a three-hour visit on Saturday. She hadn't seen her kids since January the 3rd.
Oh, wow.
She's probably good for them.
That's when she refused to give the kids back and held them at gunpoint and dangled them off a balcony and
I think all shaved
their heads and beat them with an umbrella. And
it's kind of a mixture of stories.
Took arthroscopic pictures of their urethras or something. Something went down.
I don't think most of that happens.
Something went down.
Apparently, the kids were driven to her home by Kevin Federline's bodyguard, and a psychiatrist was present, as well as her father, Jamie. So they were well supervised during the visit. And they say, yeah, Britney showed up about 2.5 hours late, so she only got about 10 minutes with the kids. No, I'm kidding. They went to her house, so she couldn't be late.
Oh, I doubt it.
The only place she can't be late is when she's in bed and you wake her up.
It's Britney, bitch.
Sure is. We have some more Daniel Day-Lewis doing this.
I drink your milkshake.
That's a good performance right there. I was stunned last night watching his acceptance speech. I feel this way every time I see him accept an award for this movie. The movie and his performance is so quintessentially American. Mm-hmm. It is the most American. It's the best of America. It's the greed and it's the ambition and it's the violence and it's just. And then he gets to be like, hello, yes. I'm so happy to have the award. He's such a fey little dandy. And it's like, I drink your milkshake. I'll kill you.
I drink your milkshake.
I'm finished. I beat him to death with a bowling pin.
Yes, thank you for your award. You've pleased me so much with your award.
It just shows what a great actor he is, though.
I know. That's what blows me away. He's brilliant. But it's a quintessential masculine American character.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So pleased to be here. You're so kind with your award. And this sapling sprung from the head of Paul Thomas Anderson.
Ralph, don't you think the same about Javier Bardem, too, though? Because he's so creepy. And No Country for Old Men.
But he just strikes me as sort of a regular dude who plays creepy guys.
I'd rather have a beer with him than Daniel Day-Lewis.
But
he doesn't
come across as femmy at all.
Right, I guess you're right. But his normal persona is so inviting and nice and personable. And then in No Country for Old Men, he's literally the creepiest guy that's ever existed.
Yeah, but there's a difference between being able to turn on and off the psychopath, because a lot of good actors could do that. De Niro's one of those guys, and Anthony Hopkins and stuff. But my wife turned to me and said, I didn't know Daniel Day-Lewis was gay. And I said, he's not. That's the thing. That's his wife sitting there. He's got like 4 kids.
I drink your milkshake.
But boy, is he not Plainview.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. This is Paul Thomas Anderson's award. And it's my vagina is itching.
Ralph, a lot of those guys who talk like that are either gay or British, and he just happens to fall.
But even for Brits, he is just, wow.
British people look at him and go, wow.
Yeah. Prince Charles say, I drink your milkshake.
I drink your milkshake.
Just always surprises me. Very
British people.
Oh, they're polite, and the men all sound gay, but they will rip out your heart.
That's for sure. Today's celebrity birthday, Sally Jesse Raphael. Remember her from her talk show?
She's still alive.
Yeah. Yes, she's only 65 years old.
But she looks 165.
Well, she lived in her car for a while. Cut her some slack.
She looked like she's 160 years ago.
Tia Leone, not only a talented actress in her own right, but also the wife of David Duchovny. Mm-hmm.
If she's 165, she would have been about 160 years ago, Kevin.
Yes, that's pretty good math, right?
I don't know that you added much to my statement.
Take it back.
Tia Leone is 42 years old today. She looked like she was like 42 years ago.
Right.
Carrot Top is 41.
Oh, we know about Carrot Top.
And he's got mechanical arms.
Yep.
So says the CIA. Sean Astin, you remember him as Sam in the Lord of the Rings trilogy and a bunch of other feature films. He is 37. And Rashida Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Our pal from The Office, who played Karen on The Office, of course. She is also going to be starring in a new Fox sitcom called Unhitched. You'll be able to see her, the lovely and talented daughter of Quincy Jones and Peggy Lipton. Mm-hmm. She's beautiful and she's talented. And Kevin, I think, had a conversation with her, didn't he?
Yeah.
Can I buy you any more time, Psycho Mike?
Psycho Mike's been spending the last... He started pretty on time.
Did you catch where I was going with this?
There's so many moments with Kevin.
Did you see where I was going with this, though? That's what I want to know.
There are a lot of...
Our own Kevin had a conversation with Rashida Jones, who was playing Karen on The Office at the time, and... You know, you can make fun of your Larry Kings. You can make fun
of your
Barbara Walters. But when it comes to real investigative reporting, when you want to get the information out of someone, when you want an entertainment broadcasting reporter
ready
to cover the big picture for you,
ready,
you go to Kevin because these are the kind of questions you get.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second Office when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's actually worth the wait.
Wow.
She may never speak with us again after that.
Well, until Friday when we have the rematch with the beautiful Rashida Jones.
Wow.
I think I'll be quiet during that interview.
How dare you? Better not be. You better just talk. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And you're going to die. Details later this hour.
That's not the type of thing people should know now?
Nope. So they do on the Channel 4 News. I watch Channel 4 News. They go, you could die with something you're eating every day tonight at 11.
True.
That's right. Just to make sure. Also, details on Destination Number 8 of the K-Rock World Tour 2008 coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, by now you know last night was the 80th Annual Academy Awards. They may still be on for all I know.
I drink your milkshake.
Exactly. Daniel Day-Lewis, we'll hear from in a moment, was the big winner for Best Actor as predicted. There weren't a lot of surprises last night, but we will get to them. Ralph made reference to the best thing of the whole night, which happened about 5:29, just before they went to the live Oscar show. Regis Philbin, who had been doing the half hour on ABC, walks onto the stage and starts pointing out people in the crowd. Hey, there's Nicole Kidman over there. It's a time waster, you know.
Right.
And then he sees Javier Bardem, who's up for the Best Supporting Actor, and had this to say about the great actor.
Here it is, right in the heart of Hollywood. Let's come on down, show you who's here. There's Philip Seymour Hoffman. Everybody in place right there. Forrest Whitaker. Here's Xavier Bardem. Nice to see him.
Nice to see you too, Regis.
Xavier.
Poor. I felt bad for Reg, but, I mean, a guy like him, I mean, what does he know from all these foreigners and their funky names? You know what I mean? It's got to be weird for him. You know, last night, I don't think Ralph mentioned this. Last night, none of the acting awards went to Americans. They were all foreigners.
All four of them were from
Europe last night.
Well, we need to stop that.
Jon Stewart came out getting pretty good reviews as the host. Of course, couldn't help but point out a few times that it was the 80th anniversary of the Academy Awards.
Oscar is 80 this year. Which makes him now automatically the front runner for the Republican nomination.
You know, he went into a sizable chunk in his opening monologue about politics.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I was surprised too, and I was a little uncomfortable with it. It didn't really seem like it fit. I mean, it seemed like he was really more doing Daily Show stuff than he was doing Oscar stuff. But I will say my favorite joke that he told all night happened to have fallen in that political chunk.
You have to give Barack Obama credit. He has overcome a great deal. Not just he is an African American. Barack Hussein Obama is his name. His middle name is the last name of Iraq's former tyrant. His last name rhymes with Osama. That's not easy to overcome. I think we all remember the ill-fated 1944 presidential campaign of Gadolf Hitler.
Now, come on. Right there, I thought, Jon Stewart is the man.
Gadolf
Hitler. How do you sum up the Oscars in just 10 seconds? I think this really is the most representative clip of the entire evening.
Thank you very much. Thank you at the Academy.
Yeah, there's another one
and,
of those.
And what can I say? I'm really happy and proud to be here with you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
That was some random French guy who won some random BS makeup award or sound editing award or some award that no one cares about of some guy we don't care about who can't speak English who stands on the goddamn stage for 30 minutes trying to say something.
Are there no
Americans? How many times did that happen?
Do we not have Americans anymore that can win awards?
They don't work in show business anymore. Kevin, apparently they all quit. I don't know what happened. That guy won the makeup award for the great job he did on Olivia and Rose, but I'm saying send somebody up who can speak the goddamn language to accept your award.
Well, that movie that you're talking about is a foreign movie, right? I mean, that's...
Yes. It was in French.
Okay,
yes,
so we have a foreign movie category. Let's put it there.
I didn't... I mean...
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just
How
saying.
How do they do that, by the way? How do they decide which goes in the foreign movie category and which?
They, you know, when they have the nominating committees that does, that pick which movies. I mean, foreign language movies have been nominated for Best Picture, for instance, like Life is Beautiful a few years ago. I mean, this one was not, La Vie en Rose was not nominated for Best Picture, but I think France submitted a different movie for the Oscar consideration, if you can believe it. So I don't think it was in the Best Foreign Film.
That was a good choice.
Wow.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was just a lot of that. Javier Bardem, who is also European, Spanish, of course, he does speak English and had a very funny speech.
All right. This is pretty amazing. It's a great honor for me to have this. I have to speak fast here.
Friendo.
Thank you to the Coens for being crazy enough to think that I could do that and put one of the most horrible haircuts on history over my head.
Friendo.
I know that was a nice speech from Javier.
Didn't sound right.
No, that was totally him.
Okay.
Another French guy winning another award.
Thank you. Thank you very much. But I don't really speak English.
Then get off. Wait, then get off the stage.
I'm a very bad student.
All right, then leave.
And I can say I'm very happy.
Okay.
And I want to thank my producer.
Please don't. Look, here's the problem. The difference is that these people maybe deserve to be honored by the film community, but it's not good television. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think they really make a nod to good TV.
No.
On that night, they really don't seem to take that into account.
No, you're right. I would actually be more happy if they would just accept it in their own language.
I would too.
At least it would go faster.
And then translate it.
Yeah.
And then have somebody who speaks Spanish who's working the teleprompter underneath. That's exactly what they ought to do.
I'd like them to walk up on the stage and just keep walking right backstage.
Just take it and go.
If you want to watch their acceptance speech, you can watch it later.
Javier, by the way, did do a shout-out to his mother in Spanish, which was very fast and seemed very touching. And by the way, how about a moratorium on making out with your mom in the audience? How many times was Javier Bardem chewing face with mom last night?
I don't think he was chewing face.
Seriously,
I swear to God, there was tongue for a minute. Every single time they'd show the audience, he had his tongue like all the way down her throat. It was
she
just
was
like
demanding it, though. Didn't you get the idea that he was trying to pull back sometimes? And
yes,
she would
did.
Not have it. You stay
Dude.
Here and you make out with me, son.
I swear to God, they were having the best date of anyone in the audience. It was intense. You should have seen it. Here's the nomination. Ralph made mention to it was a little bit of a surprise, but the Best Supporting Actress Award.
And the Oscar goes to Tilda Swinton.
She, of course, was in the Michael Clayton movie and had something to say about George Clooney.
And George Clooney, you know, the seriousness and the dedication to your art, seeing you climb into that rubber bat suit from Batman and Robin, the one with the nipples, every morning under your costume, on the set, off the set, hanging upside down at lunch. You rock, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
By the way, I saw Michael Clayton again this weekend also, by the way. That's such a terrific movie. But
did she have makeup in that movie?
She did,
yeah.
She
try
sweats
that.
A lot, though.
She should try that at the Academy Awards.
She looked good in the movie,
she
though.
She was ugly.
She looked worse in the movie.
Wow, she was ugly.
The interesting thing is I can't tell you how many times throughout the course of the evening between the pre-show and the Oscars itself, people would bring up Batman to George Clooney. It's almost like people are trying to humanize him because he's so perfect in every way that everybody wants to remind him, hey, you think you're all that? You were the bad Batman. I just want to make sure you remember. It's unbelievable. I mean, his one dud on his entire film career, people just constantly are rubbing in his face. And there's Tilda doing it again right there. I thought one of the best speeches of the night was one of the several awards. I think the Coen brothers ended up winning three awards for their No Country for Old Men. And this is Ethan Coen. He's the little one of the brothers. This was the entirety of his speech when they got up to accept for Best Adapted Screenplay.
We, Thank you very much.
Now, I think, A, American, well done. B, I think other people who win awards at the Oscars should take notice of what Ethan did. And if you don't have anything to say, just don't say anything.
Don't say anything. That's what my dad always told me.
Rather than stand up there for 4 minutes and fake it. So good speech right there. Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, what'd you guys think of their bit?
Way too long, not funny.
I thought they were amusing.
Yeah.
I think like
they're. I think my problem is I think they're funnier than that.
Yeah,
so
but that's a tough venue to be
They're the guys from Superbad, of course, and here's a little bit of, here's about a hundredth of how long it went on.
By now you figured out that Hallie and Dame Judy couldn't be here tonight, so they grabbed us from the audience to fill in.
And since they didn't have time to write something new for us, we're going to use a script they wrote for them. You're Dame Judy, you go first.
Wait. Why am I Dame Judy? Why aren't I Halle Berry?
Are you kidding me, dude? Obviously, I'm Halle Berry. I look more like her.
We look exactly the same, dude. Are you why?
I do love those guys, though. But
and
I
they
mean,
do
that,
look exactly the same.
They do. That bit has been done 30,000 times on award shows, though.
And,
you know what I mean?
And it was done by that point, and yet continued
for a very, very long time. The biggest upset of the night. Tilda was a little bit of an upset in the supporting category.
Was one of the biggest upsets how ugly Tilda was?
Everyone expected that Julie Christie was going to win the Best Actress Award.
Yeah.
There were some people who thought maybe Ellen Page because it was a big year for Juno, but everybody thought it was going to be Julie Christie. Thank you. Thought it was going to be Julie Christie, and it turned out it wasn't.
And the Oscar goes to Marion Cotillard.
Well, thank you, life. Thank you, love. And it is true there is some angels in this city. Thank you so, so much.
All right, that's my exception to people who are foreigners who can barely speak English. Marianne Cotillard can stand on that stage as long as she wants, as often as she wants, and give speeches.
Beautiful and hot.
Yes. And so happy, and it was an enthusiastic, exciting speech. That was really one of the few genuinely exciting moments from the winners on stage, I thought.
You don't get a lot of people thanking life or love.
No, you don't.
It usually doesn't happen.
It's the French, you know.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren got up to give the Best Actor Award, and I thought she had the moment of the whole night.
Cojones.
I mean, that is all really... Yeah. You never see that at the Oscars, you know. Good on you. I enjoyed that
very much.
Then
she went on that rant about balls, which I thought was great.
Exactly. And here she is giving the award to Daniel Day-Lewis.
And the Oscar goes to Daniel Day-Lewis, and there will be blood.
I'm looking at this gorgeous thing that you've given me, and I'm thinking back to the first devilish whisper of an idea that came to him and everything since, and it seems to me that this sprang like a golden sapling out of the mad, beautiful head of Paul Thomas Anderson.
He's a fan.
Wow. Oh, just Irish, actually.
Wow, now that I hear him talk after Ralph explained that to me, he really is effeminate.
He's a bit fey, yeah.
Wow.
Ethan Coen came back up with a follow-up to his speech from earlier in the night when he was accepting the Best Director Award for No Country.
I don't have a lot to add to what I said earlier. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the entirety of that speech. Very well done. And the final award of the night, Denzel Washington, who's badass, by the way, bald. I don't know. I'd never seen him completely bald before, but badass. Yeah.
And the Oscar goes to No Country for Old Men. Scott Rudin, you can call
not a lot of surprises on the Oscars last night. And that's not really the Academy Awards' fault. It's just that there's so many award shows leading up to that where you know who all the favorites are. It's not like anyone's surprised when Daniel Day-Lewis or Javier Bardem wins because you know they're going to win. But anyway, thank God it's over, and thank God there are no more award shows for a few months. That's all I have to say.
I drink
about that.
Your milkshake.
All right, Rod.
The Coast. 103.2. What is it? 103.7.
It's actually K-Rock. It's 106.7. Oh. And that is Tool.
Oh.
Which is how you want to wake up on a Monday morning. It's 6:42. Look, everybody worries, you know, hey, how's it going to end? You know, how's the world going to come to a collapse? Is it going to be an asteroid hitting the planet and killing us all? Is it going to be the global warming? We're all just going to die. Nope. We got good news for you today. It's none of those things. Ladies and gentlemen, you are going to die by a python.
A Burmese python. Now, these are the snakes that they don't bite and kill you. They bite you.
They squeeze
the life out of you, and then they swallow you whole.
Yeah.
And apparently they're taking over North America. Stupid Al Gore and his global warming.
What?
Now, what's the deal? Is it because the environment now is hospitable to pythons where it was not before? It was too cold before? Is that what you're saying?
Here's the problem. People in Florida are the problem.
Of course they are.
Florida is always the problem because what they do is they get them as pets and then they don't want them anymore, so they release them into the wild. So then they start breeding, and they're saying that in a couple of years, they're going to be in a third of the United States.
Oh, my God.
It is interesting that there were no native-born Burmese pythons, otherwise they'd be known as Floridian pythons, I guess, in the United States until the 90s, and now all of a sudden they're all over the southern United States, including California. So we thought, we got to find out more about this story. This sounds very troubling, very dangerous, and it's just something else for us to worry about. So we asked Lightning to line us up a representative from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. This apparently is in their area. Good morning. K-Rock here. Who's this?
Yes.
Is this the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service?
It used to be.
What is it now?
A bunch of corpses.
Ew. What? Mm.
Is this the Burmese python?
Yes.
Why am I not surprised? I'm
afraid of that. How long have the Fish and Wildlife people been dead?
What time is it?
6:44.
6:50.
What?
So, wait, so you swallowed them, but they're still alive?
I'm crushing them as these.
Oh, you are.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I see. We didn't mean to call during dinner. Sorry about that.
Okay, I've got a couple minutes till they're dead.
So, what's the deal here? You're taking over the southern third of the United States. It's pythons everywhere?
Yes.
Including Southern California?
Especially San Francisco.
That's what we hear.
I'll fit in there perfectly with my huge snake.
Right.
Oh, I see.
My flicking tongue.
Gotcha.
Right, it'd be very popular, I guess.
Oh, man. That is ugly. Now, you're not organized or anything, are you?
Yes. We have a union.
Already?
Yeah.
A union.
That's impressive. That kind of organized.
We're organized.
What's your name, sir?
Monty.
Monty.
Oh, yes. Monty. The python. I got you. Hey, what, why is it
really?
That was for beans.
I know, but when he came up with the idea, why didn't you say no?
I did.
Okay.
And I thought it'd be worth a giggle.
Yeah, it was funny. Hey, Monty, why is it that so many people get a python as a pet and then decide they don't want to keep it anymore and release you into the wild? What is it about you that makes you bad pets?
We tend to kill people.
Well,
there is that.
Yeah. Not a good pet to have, one that's 250 pounds, 20 feet long, and can crush the life out of you.
20 feet long, 250 pounds?
Yes.
Amazing.
Dude.
How long until we're not safe in our own homes?
Your home?
Yes.
Probably not safe already. Because you're not smart.
Oh, I see. How do you know that?
Word gets around.
How do you know that, Monty?
Even in the snake community.
Wow.
They say Kevin's a dumbass.
Wow. That's depressing.
How about that? Now, I have a question for you, Monty. Yeah. Because you eat so many different kinds of animals, yeah. I want to run some of the list by you and just maybe get a one-word synopsis or two-word synopsis on how they taste. Do you mind?
Certainly not.
Okay, good. Because I've never eaten most of this stuff. For instance, what's a bobcat taste like?
You got me. Never had one myself.
All right. How about it?
I don't have much of a taste for pussy.
Okay. Wow. They will love you in San Francisco. All right. What about alligator? Sure.
Alligator?
Mm-hmm. Yes, alligator.
Alligators taste like chicken.
Like chicken. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I thought.
Raccoons?
Raccoons. A lot like chicken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Muskrats?
Chicken?
No, that's more like venison.
So then what about deer?
Deer is something like muskrat.
Okay. I think I get the idea here. So the warning for our listeners today is look out. You and the other pythons are on the way.
Yes.
That's not good. In the article we're reading, Monty, it says that you're not a threat to human beings. Why would it say that?
Well, it depends if you're good-looking or not.
Okay, what if
we're
not?
Looking.
If you're a good-looking fellow, chances are you'll survive.
Oh.
But you might want to clench your butt cheeks.
Oh, jeez.
I want a python up there.
Is that where pythons go?
Sometimes.
Well, that's not good. There's a long S right there.
Or he's running out of air.
Monty? You okay?
Oh. I just passed the researcher.
Oh, Lord.
We're on. The mic's wrong, Kevin. Mic's wrong.
Test.
Smith. What? Hey, guys, we're on.
What?
We're on. Okay. Mic's wrong.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:57.
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, dude?
Oscar!
Is that your Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yes. By the way, I stand corrected. Of course, I got a lot of emails after I talked about how fey Daniel Day-Lewis is. That, of course, he's Irish. He's not English at all. He's Irish.
But way fey. No one argued that.
No one argued that, okay. No. But I said he was a Brit, and okay. In reality, he's a...
Well, he's a member of the kingdom, United Kingdom.
That's why. I kind of lump them together. You know?
Sure.
Yeah,
don't do that.
The same, that's why.
Talking about the Oscars, here's a brief recap of the major awards in case you missed it last night. You were dodged the bullet of not sitting through that four-hour nightmare.
You know, Ralph, Lisa liked it, but she fast-forwarded through it. And Alex liked it.
She also fast-forwarded through it.
Hmm. Is it a girl thing? Are we missing the fashion part of it or something?
Maybe.
I don't know. It wasn't really the fashion, I don't think.
Hmm. Well, you were smart enough to fast forward through that, like the 150-year-old old man that went on for like 2 hours.
See, I can't tape it and then fast forward through it, because for me it's like watching a sporting event. It's much more enjoyable to see it happen live.
But then you can't fast forward when the old guy gets up. What are you going to do? Yeah.
That makes a big difference. I think.
I thought he was pretty cool. I mean, the guy's been doing art direction for 70 years or something.
He's 98
on every movie ever.
How about giving him an award? I don't know, 5 years ago when he could talk.
Look, I would rather give awards to guys who actually did something to benefit movie making, than sit through three songs from freaking Enchanted.
Me too.
I cut those right the F out.
Well, I
play
think
a snippet like they show you a glimpse of a scene from a movie when everyone else is nominated for something. Just play a snippet of the song and move along.
That's not a bad idea. Although I did think the song I Love From Once that ended up winning, I thought that was a terrific performance. I thought that was one of the things I enjoyed most about the show.
Then let the winner perform their song.
Not a
snippet to the other, and whoever wins gets up and performs the winning song for the night.
And how are 3 out of 5 from the same movie? Were there no music?
They're hard to find songs. There's not a lot of songs in movies these days. You know?
Did you notice how many categories had fewer than 5 nominees, too? A lot of them had 3 and 4.
Yeah.
It's just I think they're having trouble filling those spots sometimes.
Anyway, here's your big winners from last night. Best Picture went to No Country for Old Men, as did Best Director. The Coen Brothers won for that film. And Best Adapted Screenplay. So big night for those guys. Daniel Day-Lewis.
I drink your milkshake.
There he is.
Rodney doing his Daniel Day-Lewis impression. did indeed pick up the Best Actor award as anticipated. However, the surprises of the evening were from the ladies. Marion Cotillard won for her performance as Edith Piaf in La Vie en Rose.
That was Best Foreign Film?
No.
Mm.
No?
No. Best Actress.
Best Actress.
All right.
And Tilda Swinton, my fave from Michael Clayton, won for Best Supporting Actress.
Ugly.
Well, she's a hippie, dude. She's not like...
She is an ugly hippie.
But she doesn't do the glam thing.
I know.
She doesn't put on dresses and put on makeup.
She made
and
that clear.
Yeah, well, that's
but
not, no
she's
surprise
not an ugly
there.
Girl. She's not an ugly person at all. She just doesn't dress up.
She looks like Ziggy Stardust. She looks like Bowie when he used to do a Ziggy Stardust character with the dyed orange hair and the pale, pale skin. And she's very androgynous.
Yeah.
Hideous.
Yeah.
Just a hideous blow pig.
Have you never seen her before?
I don't think I've ever... No, I don't think so.
You didn't see Michael Clayton?
So then you
I saw
surprised.
That, but they put makeup on her there. You know, I mean,
she's
they had a little bit of makeup
movies.
On her.
Yeah.
I think Mike's right. I think she looked like Conan O'Brien with AIDS. I believe that's correct. That's a good description.
The skinny little redhead. She is indeed.
Ugly.
Javier Bardem won, as expected, for Best Supporting Actor as well. So those are your big Oscar winners. However, you may have missed the results of the Razzie Awards, the Golden Raspberries.
Oh.
This is my favorite award of the year. It gives out awards to the worst in film, not the best. The awards were given out on Saturday, and here are your winners for the Razzies. Worst Picture went to Basic Instinct 2. Congratulations.
What? This year?
I forgot that
was
even made.
This year? I thought Lindsay Lohan's I Know Who Killed Me was the best. Was the worst picture this year.
They may have given me the wrong list here of winners. Maybe this
did.
Is last year's winners.
All right. Was Norbit on there?
I'll pick that
they've
up.
Norbit.
Because Norbit got a bunch of awards.
Did it?
I will. I'll
double check.
Yeah, I'll double check.
I think Lindsay's movie was the big winner for the Razzies this year.
All right. Well, there you go.
Congratulations to her.
Yes, indeed.
She must be proud.
Speaking of Lindsay, once again, she's been spotted partying.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. In Touch magazine reports that she's been spotted hanging out at a Beverly Hills hotel party where people were smoking pot and doing blow all night long.
Yeah.
Ooh. But she wasn't.
Well, no.
Whore.
Chances are. I mean, no one has any physical evidence of her doing drugs, mm-hmm. but if you're hanging out at that party until late in the morning.
That automatically makes you a whore?
Doesn't make you whore, but
I'm sure she called her sponsor.
You look like a whore.
Sure, as a freshly rehabbed actress, you may not want to be hanging out with that crowd.
Yeah, it seems like why really get in a situation where you're going to be tempted? That's, I think, what Ralph's point is.
She's a whore, okay?
It is my point indeed.
Lindsay Lohan.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Blissfully, the Larry the Cable Guy movie Witless Protection did not make the top 10 this weekend.
That's amazing.
Never happier to be wrong.
10.
It's not amazing. It's magical.
It is.
Shows that there may be some hope. Maybe some hope for America.
Even the rednecks said, no thanks.
Well, luckily, there was a lot of NASCAR this weekend, so I'm hoping that's what they were doing instead. Omar took the bullet for the team and went down to the Larry the Cable Guy movie and got some interviews of folks who were actually watching the film. Poor bastard.
Give you that a little bit later on this morning.
And I will also be playing you some the comedy stylings of Mr. Dan Whitney.
Who's that?
He's Larry the Cable Guy. This is Dan's stand-up routine before he adopted the persona of the redneck cable guy.
So he just puts on the clothes and the face and everything, and then he turns into Larry the Cable
Guy? Totally a manufacturer persona.
Huh.
And people used to tell me that, you know, it's an act, man. He's really good because that's all an act. He puts that on. It's like, it doesn't make him funny. It just makes him able to wear a flannel shirt with no sleeves and a trucker cap. That's all it makes him able to do.
I saw an interview with him on 60 Minutes where he was Larry the Cable
Guy. Stayed in character?
Yeah, and that made me think that that's who he is.
Well, you'll hear Dan Whitney stand up and you'll realize this guy has never been funny. Not with or without a trucker hat and a goatee. Never been funny.
Trucker hat doesn't help.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Vantage Point came in at number one, $24 million. Made it. So Jumper was number two. The Spiderwick Chronicles came in at number three. Step Up to the Streets. Step Up to the Streets.
Word.
Step Up to the Streets was number four. Fool's Gold was five. Definitely Maybe was number six. Number seven, Be Kind Rewind. Number eight was Juno.
Juno.
Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins, number nine. And There Will Be Blood, number 10.
I drink your milkshake.
I do indeed. Here, I had the wrong list for the Golden Raspberry Awards. Here's a quick recap. I Know Who Killed Me.
Yes.
The Lindsay Lohan movie was Worst Picture. Worst Actor, Eddie Murphy as Norbit.
Sure.
Worst Actress was Lindsay Lohan and Lindsay Lohan, because she played two roles in I Know Who Killed Me, so she won twice.
Right.
So it was a tie.
God.
Worst Supporting Actress, Eddie Murphy as Rasputia.
Sure. He plays all of the characters.
He plays the
characters.
Worst Supporting Actor, Eddie Murphy as Mr. Wong in Norbit. Worst Screen Couple, Lindsay Lohan and Lindsay Lohan.
Sure.
The two characters she played in I Know Who Killed Me. Worst Remake or Ripoff, I Know Who Killed Me. And worst prequel or sequel, Daddy Day Camp. The sequel to Daddy Daycare was the worst prequel or sequel. So there's your Razzies for this year.
Good stuff.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Sally Jesse Raphael, former talk show host, is 65 years old today. Taya Leone, actress and wife to Dave Duchovny. She is 42. Carrot Top turns 41 years old today. You can see him at the Luxor, I think, if you want to. He's there all the time.
He's a robot.
He's got those arms, though, man.
Yeah.
Sean Astin from the Lord of the Rings trilogy and other feature films is 37. And Rashida Jones, the beautiful and talented actress who for a couple seasons there played Karen on The Office. She is starring in a brand new sitcom on Fox called Unhitched, but probably best known as Karen on The Office. And we had her on when she was starring in that show.
No.
Uh-huh. And the next time you look at the Larry King or what's the other one
Joan
from
Rivers.
The View? Joan Rivers or Barbara Walters. And you say, that's just a horrible question. They're a bad, bad interviewer. I don't want to see them interview celebrities anymore.
Yeah.
Before you do that, turn on a little Kevin.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Usually I can say, well, I see what he was getting at there. I know, you know, sure he misspoke, but you understand what he was trying to ask. I have no idea what you wanted from
you
her.
Oh, you do too. That was a brilliant question.
What did you want her to say? What was your goal with that question?
When she started on the outside office, the second office, did she know that she was going to be folded into the original office? That's what I meant to ask. I just didn't ask it well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea what you were.
But all those words got jumbled. I have kind of a jumble in my head. I don't know why.
Kevin is a great guy. Yeah. He is not much of an entertainer.
Yeah.
Kevin, God damn it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, why are you so excited? Why are you so happy here this morning?
Because Pennywise rocks.
No, it's Larry the Cable Guy, isn't it?
Oh, that's right.
You love Larry the Cable
Guy. We have uncovered some comedy from Larry the Cable Guy back when he was still Dan Whitney. And, you know, I hate Larry the Cable Guy. I hate everything about him. I hate his redneck BS. I hate his stereotypical, slovenly, southern character.
It does seem like if you were going to create a character, it's way too over the top. You'd have to soften it a lot.
Well, that's
what
I think. A lot of Larry the Cable Guy fans defend him by saying, dude, he's a brilliant actor because
he created this persona and he's so believable as this guy. Well, it's not believable.
No.
And I would feel more sympathy toward him if he really was Southern and stupid. And I would say, well, this is all this guy can do. So really, it's not his fault. It's like a birth defect. He's trying the best he can to be funny.
Right.
But he isn't.
But
this guy was not funny before he was Larry the Cable Guy. He was a failed comedian who wasn't funny and then took on this hee-haw persona and somehow tapped into the zeitgeist of fat, stupid Southerners everywhere and made a career out of it.
And has made multi-millions of dollars now.
Exactly. But let's rip back the curtain. Let's rip back the trucker hat. Let's rip back the flannel shirt with no sleeves, if you will, and let me expose you to this real guy. And you can see just how talentless he is by cutting him down to his basic core. Back when he was Dan Whitney, a stand-up comedian, we found some footage of him performing on a show called Caroline's. It used to be a stand-up comedy showcase show on A&E, I think.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Caroline's is a famous comedy club in New York City right up at Times Square. And here is Dan Whitney, who later became Larry the Cable Guy, with his hilarious comedy styling.
You know, I got to tell you, a weird thing happened to me last Sunday. I'm watching America's Most Wanted. All of a sudden, my dad got up real fast, turned the channel, shaved his beard off.
See? He doesn't sound like Larry the Cable Guy.
See what happened there with his father?
Yeah, I guess.
Strange goings-ons there. Yeah, and he's in New York, and he has to take cabs around New York City.
Right.
Here's Dan's take.
All the cab drivers are pretty weird. They're all Iranian, you know? They got those weird names. My cab driver was Iranian, but his name was Bob.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Not
was that him laughing?
Yep, him laughing.
Where's
at his own
joke?
Jokes. That was the joke. Is an Iranian guy named Bob. How about those crazy cab drivers in New York, huh? This is what he's going. This is the fresh take that Dan's got on the city of New York. How about the comedy trigger word Jehovah's Witnesses?
I figured out how to get rid of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Invite them in and try to sell them Amway.
I like that he laughs at his own jokes.
After every joke.
Is there an audience? Because I don't hear an audience laughing.
You will.
Okay.
Here he is talking about his class reunion.
Hey, I went to my class reunion the other day, which is really weird. A friend of mine's in a lot of trouble. He joined this gang. It's an all-Jewish gang. They're not very violent. They just find out where there's going to be a rumble, and they cater it.
See?
I don't...
I think Larry the Cable Guy may be an improvement, Ralph. For as much heat as you're giving the dude, I think that act is better than this act.
I don't know.
I think they're equally unfunny.
Yeah.
I think once you remove all the funny from something, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's a vacuum.
This guy, by the way, mansions... Super rich, this guy that we're listening
wow.
to right here.
Here's Dan on his childhood photographs.
Remember those pictures of when you were a little kid? I was looking, you know, the reunion got to me to looking at the pictures, and I drug some out of the attic of me when I was really young, and they're really embarrassing. But I was young, and I needed the money. But here's another one you won't get.
Yeah, it's not that I don't get it, you piece of crap. It's that it's not funny.
That's where he starts turning on the audience for not laughing at him.
Oh, it's my favorite thing of all. Oh, you people just don't get my...
Was that a child porn
yes,
joke?
Yes, Lisa. It was a hilarious child porn joke.
Okay, well, that is a funny material.
But people just
porn.
Don't get it. That's
I like
the
that it's turning on them.
Yeah, because they're just too stupid to get his highbrow comedy.
Sure.
How about basketball?
Here's how bad I'm at basketball. I broke my ankle in three places playing basketball. Nintendo. And that really stinks.
Wow.
See, because in a video game, you shouldn't get injured.
No, I don't get that.
That's not funny.
Wow.
Those poor people were drinking.
This is Larry the Cable Guy, the real Larry the Cable
this
Guy.
Is Dan Whitney, the real Larry the Cable Guy. This is before he took on, before he watched too many episodes of Hee Haw and said, oh, that's the kind of comedy I want to do.
Well, yeah. He had to do something because this wasn't working.
Can you believe he actually did a chunk on supermarket shopping carts?
Really?
No.
Liar.
The oldest, crustiest bit in the business. How about that wheel on the shopping cart? Isn't that nutty?
Oh.
Anybody ever go grocery shopping and you get one of those carts you can't control? Front wheels are all screwed up. It's like, all right, honey. Ah, crap.
Does it not go straight?
All
doesn't
right,
go
honey,
straight.
Oh, crap.
Because
it
goes all wacky, Lisa. It's called wiggly.
That's his joke, though?
But there's no joke.
It's funny because it's true. Because everyone can relate to it.
Oh. Now I'm just sad.
Dan Whitney.
Sad.
You're sad. Wait till you hear this joke.
This kind of makes me miss the Oscars.
Yeah,
that's
no kidding.
How this is.
Got recognized today. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm leaving the mall. Some girl came out to me. She goes, excuse me, are you Dan Whitney? I said, yeah, I am. She goes, you dropped your wallet here. Oh, so I stabbed her. But, you know.
What? What?
See, he wasn't recognized. She found his wallet, and she saw his photo.
And then he stabbed her?
And then he stabbed her, yeah. Look, when you don't get a laugh, Lisa, you have to try to say something outrageous, so hopefully they'll laugh at that, because you got to...
That's Larry the Cable Guy.
And when he says...
comedy.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's him laughing at himself.
It's his hilarious comedy stylings. This guy's a genius.
Well,
he's a genius. Or he's the least funny man on the planet. Or he should die.
Well, there is that.
C. I choose C.
C.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with Larry the Cable Guy? What are we going to do?
I don't know that we have many options.
We got to do something.
We didn't go to his movie.
Although America stayed away in droves from witless protection, so maybe there is. Maybe there is.
Maybe there won't be another.
Some hope. There'll be another.
He's already working on
it. There'll be another until we take him out, Lisa. Until we turn him into a pink mist with a 50 caliber machine gun.
Yeah. All right, Rambo.
Welcome back to the 80th Academy Awards. In case you're wondering what we all do here during the commercial breaks, mostly we just sit around making catty remarks about the outfits you're all wearing at home. That's right, it goes both ways, people.
I'm sorry, I'm still watching the Oscars. Yeah. They're getting ready to give out another sound editing award. Probably back to you. They're still on. I'm sorry. It's 7:28 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Complete recap of the Oscars, not only in Ralph's Showbiz Beat coming up later in the hour, but we'll have some highlights, some taped highlights from the telecast itself last night coming up in the 8 o'clock hour here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, people. We are going to give you the info now on K-Rock's World Tour, destination number 8.
Oh, good.
Best live band ever, Rage Against the Machine.
Oh. Yes.
Best live band ever, you're now saying.
Ever.
Okay, that's interesting, because there are a lot of people who might argue that point.
Ever.
They're very good.
Best live band ever?
Better than The Who at their peak? Really?
Mm, yep.
Okay.
Way better than The Who. Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding at all.
Mm. Rage Against the Machine. You qualify by winning their CD catalog, and then Friday morning we're going to hook you up with the grand prize. We're going to send you to Lisbon, Portugal.
No way.
Really?
To see Rage Against the Machine.
Dude.
Wow.
How about that?
That would be fabulous.
Lisbon, the one in Portugal, and some junk.
Right.
That's right.
Pretty strong. Rage Against the Machine in Portugal all week long here on the world famous K-Rock.
Yo, this is Sean Preston. And this is Jaden James. Our mom's nuts. Let's bounce, dog.
K-Rock needs you to accompany two minors to...
Lisbon, Portugal? Yo, where the heck's that?
To see Rage Against the Machine.
Listen to K-Rock all week, and you will get all the Rage Against the Machine CDs. Thanks to Epic Records. It's Kevin and Bean Call Your Name. You have to take us to Portugal. Thanks, dude.
Rage Against the Machine in Lisbon.
Yo, our mom's gonna kill us, man.
Hi, this is Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. All week, check out K-Rock.
Made possible by Jumper, in theaters everywhere.
Producer Lightning has joined us in the studio. Lightning had another one of his famous three-day weekends. He takes about 20 of those a year.
I'm trying to. Lightning takes Fridays off. Every Friday he gets off, and he goes to the sand. He goes out to the desert.
I have been doing that a lot lately with the family. Yeah, taking the RV out to this weekend was Ocotillo.
Hold on. Before you move along.
Okay.
Taking the RV out, he just said the words.
He sure did.
He has an RV.
Is that a euphemism for something you and your wife want to tell us about? Or
Lightning has an RV.
Yes, I do.
He's 50 now.
Yeah.
No, dude, it's fun. It's fun, and it's a lot of young guys are getting into this.
And you're having RVs?
Yeah, toy haulers and RVs and the whole thing. And I've got a bunch of friends that go out. This time it was just the family.
Right.
It was just the wife and I and the two kids.
Yeah.
And
now, this isn't the thing. This isn't the trip that you sent out the Evite invitation for a bunch of K-Rock people to come with you, is it?
No, that's April.
That's another trip?
That's
roughly the same thing, though, Bean. I mean, it's not much different.
What is like a Burning Man type thing where you just go out and just
are you
sleep in mud or something?
If it were that fun, I would have said yes.
No, Kevin.
I know, put maybe.
Where
I know,
do you go?
The trip that Kevin's talking about and Bean is that's a glamorous trip, April 18th.
Right.
And that one's going to be huge. We got like 300 people on that one.
And I'm bringing the Armenian comedian. God. He's my plus one.
Okay. No, he's not.
And Nick.
You know what? Hell, bring them all. Whatever.
Now, so you went this weekend, and you have an RV, is what you're telling
us. I did.
Us.
It was not a good weekend for me. It was more of a destruction derby weekend.
Well, what happened? Did you destroy your RV?
It started with me driving out of one of those security gates mm-hmm. in a housing complex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they put the circles of metal in the ground that sense when a car's over there so they don't, you know, close on the vehicle.
Right.
Apparently that sensor no longer working, closed on my RV as I'm driving through it, and wiped off all the lights and on one side.
You're
and
kidding.
I just missed the canopy. It's got one of those roll out canopies, and it was ugly. And I was
that's
not
fantastic.
Happy.
So did you not stop happy. And go back, or you just drive on?
I just drove on.
That's the right decision.
I pulled a Kevin, and I just go, didn't happen. I'm going to motor on.
What are you going to do?
I didn't want to let it ruin the whole weekend. So I had borrowed a friend's trailer. I got a Rhino, if you know what that is. It's like a little off-road vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I borrowed – I had no way to get it to the desert, so I borrowed a flatbed trailer.
So you had an RV pulling a giant trailer.
Yes.
That was you.
Yes, that was me. That's rad.
Top speed? Top speed 17, 18 miles an hour?
No, dude, I was doing 65 30? The whole way. Yeah, 65.
It's not the case.
Until I got to the Chevron in Banning.
Yeah.
At which point...
you realize you were in Banning and you needed to sell out.
Exactly. Well, I was on fumes. It was like 11 o'clock at night. We wanted a motor all the way out there. And so I pull in. It's like your typical gas station that sits right in the corner.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry to butt in, but yeah. You took Friday off.
Yeah. So Thursday night, it always takes way longer. It's Thursday night.
What are you doing at 11 o'clock Thursday night?
Motoring.
Though? Why don't you motor at noon?
We tried. We just could not get out of it. It's just you got to pack it. That's the big buzzkill with RVing is that you have to pack it and you can't just
drive it. That sucks.
No, and get everything collected and the kids wait till they get home
all
from
right.
school and
I
it
apologize.
Just never works out.
I interrupted. 11
yeah,
o'clock so at night.
We get out there. We pull in. We get the gas. And now I'm and there's some traffic going through this intersection, kind of a major intersection if there is one in Banning. And as I pull out of the driveway, mm-hmm. it's got the trailer where the trailer and the RV meet in the middle.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's got the hitch assembly and the joint there.
Yeah.
And it's got the wheel that hangs down so when you disassemble that you take the trailer off.
Right.
You've got the little wheel there.
Right.
Well, apparently that was hanging too low as I drove out.
Okay.
And I felt it snag on the ground. Well, now there's cars coming in both directions waiting for me to make a move.
Oh, you're the a-hole in the RV that's in the way of everyone.
I can't put it in reverse. And I figured, all right, well, I'm going forward then. And I just decided to motor through it, just gassed
just
it.
Just step on the gas.
I gassed it. And
what happened to the trailer?
My friend's trailer's not it. I kind of used it as a plow to remove asphalt.
No.
And it dug a trench across the street.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you feel the drag on the RV and
yes.
go, maybe I should take my foot off the
yes.
gas?
But at that point, if you go in reverse, then you buckle it and the whole thing goes and then it shoots through the back of the RV. So that would have been worse. Oh. So I had to just continue forward.
You might not be the right guy to be driving an RV.
Apparently not.
Yeah, I want to jump in with this, Light, because you make a point about bragging of your driving ability. Did you have two wrecks in one day? Is
yes,
that the story you're
yes,
telling us?
Yes, I did. I haven't been in an accident in 10 years
well,
plus.
Well, you shouldn't be saying that today, actually.
Yeah, I know. Knock on wood here. And so I feel instantly I feel horrible. I pull off in a side street. I get out the flashlight. I'm looking and going, oh, my God, this is a borrowed trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to
What's
have
the damage to the trailer?
It's well. I couldn't remove it from the RV, so I couldn't get. I have a garage in the back of the RV. I couldn't get anything out all weekend because I couldn't take the trailer off. The tongue's kind of messed up and whatnot.
Okay,
so
the trailer's now permanently hitched to your RV
for the
so
most
part. You just
part,
bought
yes.
it, in other words.
Is this what we need in Southern California? I mean, aren't there enough vehicles on the road without our producer Lightning and an RV and a trailer that are somehow welded together?
Yeah. Does this mean if you hit any other inclines or whatever, that
yes.
it's going to dig into the ground?
No, it's so far cocked back that now I can hydroplane across. I mean, it's just...
Oh, but it's permanently attached to your RV now.
Yeah. Well, I was able to, with the help of like four guys, I was able to pry it loose and then put it on a, you know, just lay it on a log.
Uh-huh.
But it's not in the shape at which I picked it up on
no,
Thursday
it's not.
Morning.
Sounds like you're buying someone a trailer.
It could,
put
it could
the,
be
put
the
trailer
case.
Back on the RV, and then I want you to start towing a boat behind that.
It's not enough.
That's what needs to happen.
So
you need three long
and
things and the Volkswagen Bug behind that.
What did your friend say when you called and told him about the damage you'd done to his trailer?
See, See, that's the problem, is that he doesn't know.
By the way, speaking of which, remember when we went out to the lake and lightning destroyed my friend's brand new jet ski? Remember that?
By crashing into
Same guy,
yeah,
lightning.
Yeah.
Same guy. Let's call
Mark. Same guy who's so proud.
Let's call...
No, you're not.
Let's call his friend.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
We're going to tell him about the trailer.
I think we are.
Somebody needs to. You didn't. It's already Monday morning.
I know, but I can get... I think
when did this happen? Thursday night?
Yes.
Okay. You've had time. You've had time to tell him.
Yeah, but I was thinking of a way to... No.
Well, you can fix it. We'll have it back to him.
But no.
Dude, well... Hey, Mike?
Yes.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. We're on the air here at K-Rock. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. You know that trailer that you loaned Lightning?
Yes.
Yeah, not so much anymore. It's,
what are you talking about?
He ripped it up.
Yeah.
He drove it into the ground, plowed asphalt, and his idea...
Doused it with gasoline and then set it on fire.
No, I didn't do that.
His idea of salvaging it was to step on the gas to drive it further into the asphalt, and you're going to need a new trailer.
Well, I was wondering why he hadn't called me back, because he said he was going to call me last night and drop it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I went home. I Googled trailer repair. I did. And
trailer repair.
I actually was calling.
How'd that Google search go?
Sunday afternoon, driving all the way home, going where I could stop in Fontana. There's got to be a trailer repair place out here. But
sure.
What's the damage? So why don't you tell him what the damage is?
Repair?
Yeah. He destroyed it. I'm telling you. He had an accident with it.
Well, I don't think he should be repairing it. I mean, I'm looking for a new trailer.
That's
now.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah, I would be.
No, you should get a new trailer.
I think I can fix it.
Something enclosed, even? You know, I mean, usually when you borrow something, you bring it back better than it was.
You should upgrade. That's true.
I don't know what you're talking about. No,
how
seriously,
much damage
Mike,
do you think was done for real? Like,
I mean, it's $500 worth of man hours. You know, to repair, yeah. It's going to need some metal work. It's going to need some welding.
Who's going to weld it? You?
No, hell, I don't.
Oh,
you
Mike,
don't want me
just so you
the
know,
settling torch?
Just so you know, Lightning was talking about trying to do it himself. Yeah.
I've seen the kind of work he does.
Yeah, he's going to try and
Mike,
weld
I don't
it.
Know. What do trailers cost? I have no idea.
I think that one was close to $3,000.
Yeah.
Dude, wow.
That's did you have good. Any kind of a twinge of maybe I shouldn't let my friend Lightning have it?
Oh, he's quite an idiot.
Yeah.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
That is correct.
I really did and still do feel like crap. I really do feel bad. And
you
I did not call him because I wanted to figure out.
But yes. Here's what I like about Lightning, our friend, is that he destroyed Mike's trailer.
Yeah.
And he had an accident with his RV. And yet today he's as confident a driver as he was before he left on Thursday.
Yes, I am.
Not a problem with the driver. Yeah. Not a bit.
So, Mike, I will I'll work this out with you after the show.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
Wow. Right. Mike does not sound happy.
Sorry, Mike.
Does he?
Yeah.
All right. Good work, Light.
Not the way you want to get that kind of news.
Probably not.
No.
But we don't care.
No.
Thanks.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. I imagine you got some Oscar news and a bunch of other stuff going on. What's happening, Ralph?
Get her done.
There's that.
That's what I'm here for.
Top Very 10 excited. Movies at the box office this weekend. Surprisingly, Larry the Cable Guy's movie Witless Protection did not appear in the top 10.
Amazing.
Yay!
That's good news.
Proving there may be hope, even in our darkest hour, that we're not lost as a
society.
Did
Kevin give you the $1,000 he bet you on Friday?
No, he still hasn't paid off his $1,000 bet.
We did not have a $1,000 bet.
You didn't even remember we had a bet this morning, so how do you know how much it was for? Everyone else seems to remember $1,000.
It was
I'm sure they
yeah,
do.
It seemed to be $1,000 sounds right to
Everyone
me.
Seems yeah. to remember that. You, who have no memory sure. of the bet whatsoever, right. you're claiming to know otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
How's that figure?
Mm. I wouldn't bet $1,000 on that.
Oh.
I'm happy I was wrong, by the way. That's good news.
Here is your top 10 for the weekend. However, Vantage Point was number one at the box office, making over $24 million. Jumper was number two. Spiderwick Chronicles, still doing very well for itself, came in at number three. Step Up 2, The Streets, was number four. Fool's Gold was number five.
Oh, hanging in there, isn't it?
Here's the funny thing. Omar went down to the theater to interview people who went to see Witless Protection to see what's up with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted to go inside the movie theater where they were sitting and interview them before the movie started.
Right.
But he refused to buy a ticket for Witless Protection, so he bought a ticket for Fool's Gold and then just went into the Witless Protection theater.
How's Fool's Gold any better?
Anything's better than paying money for Witless Protection.
Just barely.
I agree with him completely.
Why not pick one you like to support?
Definitely Maybe was number
like
six.
Like that?
Yeah, like oh, that. Be Kind Rewind was number seven at the box office, the new Jack Black comedy. Juno was number eight.
Juno?
Number nine was Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins. And number 10, There Will Be Blood.
I drink your milkshake.
Rodney doing his
Daniel Day-Lewis impression.
I drink your milkshake.
Oh my God.
Well, all let's right. play everything all at once.
I drink your milkshake.
I drink your milkshake.
Is he doing Boris Karloff? What's he got? What voice is that?
That's if you Daniel Day-Lewis. If you could have seen his face when he was doing that.
Mike was interviewing him on the air, by the way. And he hadn't seen the movie, but Mike told him the line, and then he did it.
How come we haven't heard this interview, by the way?
It's pretty bad.
So can we hear it?
Yeah, we can hear it.
Not now, but can we hear it maybe tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
I drink your milkshake.
He's doing.
I was working in the lab one night.
He was doing his Oscar tribute show last night. All songs about movie stars.
About movie stars.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Dusting off the Kink celluloid heroes. Huh? I'm playing that a few times.
So he tells me that, and I say, "So you playing Clint Eastwood from the Gorillaz?" Oh, I should have thought of that one.
That's a good one. No, I'm playing all enough. Those other songs about stars.
How many are there?
I drink your milkshake.
Yes, you do. Daniel Day-Lewis drank the milkshake of his competitors and won Best Actor at the Oscars last night.
Nicely done.
Stunning when you see him in person compared to his character.
It really is.
Stunning they even cast him, isn't it?
Well, he's a genius actor.
I know
I mean,
he
the
is.
Same. I felt the same way when I watched Gangs of New York. I was like, this guy... what was his name? Bill the Butcher or Bill the Barber or something like that in that movie. Just incredibly masculine and violent and just overwhelming. And then you see him first like,
there is this wonderful thing. Thank you so much for doing
it. He's kind of prissy.
It's like this is a golden sapling coming out of the brain of Paul Thomas Anderson.
That means he's a much better actor than we even realized.
Yeah. Javier Bardem came in. Number one in Best Supporting Actor category for his role in No Country for Old Men.
I'd like to hear Bean's impression now, please.
Sure.
I'm happy to win, friendo.
Jeffrey Tambor.
Unreal. I don't really do it impressions, but I was happy for him, even though it was kind of boring because, you know, we knew he was going to win, but still, I think he deserved the win. We didn't know that Regis Philbin was going to call him Xavier Bardem. We didn't know that.
We didn't.
You'll hear that tape coming up in the next half hour. We do have highlights of the show.
Marion Cotillard.
Oh.
Oui, oui.
Surprised everyone picking up the Best Actress Award for Levy and Rose. Also a surprise was the Best Supporting Actress category. Ruby Dee was the favorite. Or Kate Blanchett was also a person they speculated would win. But Tilda Swinton came in for her role in Michael Clayton.
How about that?
Very surprised and very pleased to see that.
Ugly.
Well, you know, it's not a beauty contest. I don't see why you're so hung up on the fact that she's not that attractive.
She's not just not that attractive. She tries. She's very actively ugly.
She's plain. That's all.
She's aggressively ugly.
No.
She is. If somebody said to her, you should make yourself ugly, couldn't do it any better.
She's one of those quirky, off-breed, hippie, avant-garde sort of women
aggressively
who
ugly.
Put a lot of attention into makeup and clothing and hair.
Intentionally and hideous.
I don't think that's her goal. I don't think she's trying to be unattractive. She just it's not important to her. So she just does and wears whatever she feels like.
Kevin says you need to be.
She needs to be. Especially in that crowd. By the way, you say it's not a beauty cut. Sort of. I mean, everybody dresses up. Everybody does the best they can.
It's more dress.
But I don't hear you going off for 20 minutes on the fact that Daniel Day-Lewis had long, greasy hair and was wearing several goofy earrings and just looked like a...
That was true, too.
Was dressed like a retard.
But he wasn't as offensive as her. She was way in-your-face ugly.
She was just wearing no makeup.
She didn't black out any teeth.
she didn't have to, Lisa.
She wasn't like braiding her armpit hair or anything. I mean, what do you
mean? Just is offensive.
Or moles or anything like that?
What's bothering
you?
She's offensive to all five senses or however many we have. She's just offensive on every level.
Wow.
Did
she kill your puppy? What did she do to you?
Just hideous. Just a hideous blow pig.
Kevin needs a hug.
I know.
No, I'm good.
Aren't there 1,000 women in Hollywood that are less attractive than Tilda Swinton?
No,
there are.
Absolutely not. Name one.
Rosie O'Donnell comes to mind. Now, that's a woman who's offensively ugly. There's no comparison. Tilda Swinton is so much prettier than Rosie O'Donnell.
That's pretty much
America's
a tie.
America's Next Top Model, it's about acting.
No, but don't they all dress up, Ralph? Doesn't everyone do their best?
Some people do. Some people don't.
Everyone does.
The people who won
except
best.
Except her.
The people who won best song. The singer from Once and everything couldn't even find a tie.
You're telling
evening.
Me that for the most part, people don't dress up and do the best they can. For the Oscars, that's what you're telling me.
She had a dress on. That's not what I'm saying at all. She put a dress on, but that's what she does. That's how she goes out into the world.
Well, she needs to stop doing that.
Stunning.
She's just aggressively bad.
Nice work, Kevin.
No Country for Old Men was number one for Best Picture. Also, the Coen brothers picked up the award for Best Directing and Best Adapted Screenplay, so they had a big night. Diablo Cody,
who won for Juno.
She picked up Best Original Screenplay, and Best Animated Feature was Ratatouille.
You could almost see Diablo Cody's hoo-hoo as she was walking off the stage, by the way. She was having a lot of trouble keeping that dress on.
She was conscious holding down her dress. Yeah, she pulled it across the stage.
Did you hear the great story, Ralph, about how she was selected by that shoe company, that Stuart Weitzman guy, to wear the million-dollar shoes on the red carpet? It's a promotion that they do every year. They pick one up-and-coming female actress, and they give them the shoes to
wear.
Made out
of diamonds and whatnot.
Made out of diamonds, right. She was so pissed, because you know how she is. She's a weirdo anyway. She's like, no one asked me if I wanted to wear them. Screw them. I don't want to have anything to do with this stupid promotion. She wore her own shoes that night. It was just awesome that she just flew in the face of, you know, usually people are just lining up for stuff like that. But she's awesome.
Did you see Gary Busey attack Jennifer Garner on the red carpet?
No.
I did see that.
Oh,
yeah.
That was spooky.
Didn't see it till on the web this morning. He's scary.
Ryan Seacrest is interviewing her, and Gary Busey comes up out of nowhere and starts kissing her. And she has no idea who he is.
She's about
to call for security.
That would be scary.
She's got that paranoid, get crazy man off me look in her eyes.
She ran away and Busey hung out.
She's looking for Dixon to come and get her out of the mission.
Yeah, that was the most interesting part of the evening.
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
Well, that was interesting, too.
Busey, better looking than Tilda. Back to you.
Wow.
You have a fixation, man.
Saying.
Who,
little therapy.
Who hurt you? Who hurt you?
You need to talk to someone. You need to talk to a professional.
Tilda hurt me. Tilda hurt my eyes.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
But, Kevin, you saw Michael Clayton, and you admit she was fantastic in that movie.
She was a good actress, yes.
Then how much can you hate her then? She's a talented actress who deserved to win an Oscar. Why are you raining on her moment on the stage last night?
Right. Desperately to be offensive to our visual senses.
She did not try to be offensive. She didn't put on any makeup.
Right,
get
that's what she did.
It
wasn't like she was Bjork and dressed up in a goose, for God's sake.
Would have been preferable.
I now hate you.
Would have been preferable.
Damn, a woman for not putting on makeup.
I'm way off base here because she walked out on stage like a hideous blow pig. That's my fault.
Yeah, that is your fault.
All right.
But
perfect.
How hung up do you have to get on it? What
I'm saying she was hideous.
You are improportionately reacting to it, is what we're saying.
He's a little hot-headed. You were bringing up Rosie O'Donnell. The thing about Rosie O'Donnell is no matter what she did, she'd always be ugly. I think Kevin's point is that Tilda Swinton could have made an effort to be more attractive and kind of went out of her way to be less disgusting.
Right, but we established the fact that she's one of these hippie, artsy, fartsy types who doesn't buy into that stuff. That's just her shtick.
And I'm saying she needs to.
But she's not nearly as ugly as some...
She's so ugly, Ralph.
She's really not that ugly.
Oh, Ralph.
Because she didn't wear makeup.
Oh,
that's
I'm Ralph. I'm
going to
take the high road. I'm not going to say she's ugly.
Trust me, I've said a lot of people are ugly when they are. I just don't understand
she's
why
not.
You're
saying she's not
this.
Ugly. That's what you're saying.
It's like you last night saying, oh, Harrison Ford is freaking earring in. Couldn't watch that interview. It was like the dude wore like a tiny stud, and you're all fixated on that.
Well, he was a goofball, too, but she was hideous.
What is your... How surface can your perception be?
Oh,
where
yeah,
that's where
I'm the
stops.
Only one that looks at the Oscars in a surface way. That's me alone. A-holes.
I thought she was hotter than Ruby Dee. I didn't think Ruby Dee looked especially hot last night.
But Tilda out-hotted Ruby Dee. Look at that picture of her. Dear God.
Yeah, you should hate Ruby Dee more because she's ugly and old.
She was doing the best she could. Tilda's doing the worst she could.
She's not doing
that's
anything. That's all. She's not. She's just not doing anything.
She's aggressively bad.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I don't see why you're fixated on this one.
I want to pee on her.
There's a lot worse out there.
I don't know what that meant.
Kevin, God damn it.
I just said that to crack a mic. Sorry. She's hideous, though. Seriously. Back to you.
FCC still encourages talking about human exploitation.
I drink your milkshake.
Today's celebrity birthday, Sally Jesse Raphael is 65 years old today. Now, she's good looking. Kevin likes her.
Comparatively.
Taya Leone's 42. Carrot Top turns 41. Sean Astin is 37 years old. And Rashida Jones from The Office turns 32. When we return, Kevin will give us more fashion opinions from the red carpet of the Oscars. That's why he watches. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right now it's time for the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your
browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
There's no shortage of great things to watch online these days.
No, that's true. And if you go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page, and go to the Internet Roundup, we put some links to some of our favorite stuff on there.
Okay.
One of them being Johnny Knoxville. Talking about and seeing the wipeout when he tried to do a backflip on a motorcycle.
5 minutes before, because no matter what you do when you come off the ramp, do not let go of the motorcycle. Because
why?
It's going to go 40 feet up in the air and come down and hit you. And I said, yeah, 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 I got it. Let's go.
Uh-huh.
I saw the bike go up, and it was in the air. I was like, that's probably coming back down.
Yeah, and it hit him right in the groin.
Oh, God.
He had to have surgery on his penis.
It's a, if you're worried that it may be too graphic, it is a pretty long shot of the bike coming down on him. So it's not like you're seeing, you know, the actual urethra damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Urethra damage, by the way, is playing Coachella.
But the video is up in the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup if you want to see it.
You know how in Japan they have all the best game shows?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We found one, Human Tetris. And if you haven't seen this, you have to see it. It is it's hilarious. I couldn't do it justice by trying to explain it.
No, but it is really funny.
Yeah, you got to go see that. There's the MySpace kid that freaks out. This is a noise that is not normally found in nature. But apparently this brother of this guy who spends his entire day on MySpace, mm-hmm. you know, gets on there and sends out some messages and angers him just a bit.
It's a documentary about how people can be too obsessed with MySpace and what it can do with them.
I'm going to write him a message.
Now, I know that doesn't...
Are you kidding?
It sounds like an animal or something. It's the little kid. He's very
angry.
No,
it's a bear in a bear trap,
nope.
Isn't it?
Nope.
Go die!
I'm going to get on your MySpace.
Go die, you little bitch!
Why are you so mad?
You mean it, because of what you did!
What did I do?
You know damn straight what you did!
Nick, what do you care more about, your family or MySpace?
MySpace.
Wow. Jeez. What is the kid? He's like 12 or something,
it
right?
It looks like it, yeah.
Yeah. He may love his MySpace a little bit too much.
He's retard loud. That's the problem
hey,
with him.
If there's anyone out there that's thinking about starting a family, I want you to listen to that clip a few times before you make that decision to have a kid, all right?
And I don't know if you watched Jimmy Kimmel last night after the Oscars, but you know the video that Sarah Silverman did?
Mm-hmm.
I'm effing Matt Damon, and yes. Matt Damon sings along with him.
That's right. That's Jimmy's girlfriend, Sarah Silverman, the comedian, right?
And Jimmy did his rebuttal last night, and the link is also at krock.com. And it was a who's who. I was amazed by this. First of all, Jimmy is effing Ben Affleck.
That's how you get back at Matt Damon.
That's the song, right? And but he's got a choir. He's got like a celebrity all-star choir that's singing on it, including Harrison Ford.
Jeez.
What?
Brad Pitt, who plays a delivery guy.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, they don't even know. He's just a random delivery guy, and he, you know, drops stuff off. Don Cheadle is singing. Cameron Diaz, Joan Jett, Perry Farrell, Pete Wentz. It's a crazy, like, choir of people.
That's unbelievable.
Singing the song.
I'm Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck.
Hey, Sarah, he's got bigger t-
There's the choir part. I wish we could play that part. It's good.
This is not a man crush. He's our friend Ben. And so we all hope Matt will understand.
Here comes Perry Farrell. Just like prison. That's fantastic.
This is finally the best reason, the best, most solid justification I've heard for the internet.
I turned the Oscars off around midnight. Are they still going on? Does anyone know? Did they ever end?
I think they did.
They did eventually
so,
end?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, Lisa made a good point earlier today. Here's the thing about the Oscars is you go out on a horrible date with a woman, but then a year goes by and you remember she was kind of cute.
Yeah.
And you can't remember if you had a good time or not. So you agree to go out on another date with her and then it's horrible all over again. That's what it's like every year for me when I tune into the Oscars. I don't know why. I always forget how lame it was last year.
There's so
but
much.
I get excited about it, and then I hate myself 10 hours later.
Here's the problem is that we spend a lot of time on entertainment news websites and stuff. And it's all they talk about for 3 months. And so you find yourself getting sucked back in.
Plus, we really like some of the movies.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
And we're excited for some of the
but
actors.
We forget, like, the 95% of the show that's not about the stuff that we care about.
True.
That's
you know?
Right. Look, I understand, and please, I know we're in show business land. I understand there are a lot of people in the entertainment industry out there, and you can't make a movie without a sound editor and without a cinematographer and without and all the stuff that is necessary for a film. It doesn't make good television. I appreciate those people get their moment, but it's a horrible, horrible, long, boring, horrible, boring, long, boring, horrible show to have to sit through. All right. So the highlight of the entire show happened actually 1 minute before the Oscars began at 5:30, and that was when Regis Philbin was doing the show. By the way, he last hosted the red carpet on the Oscars 30 years ago in 1978, I think he said. And that's a testament to the job he does, is they have him back every 30 years. But he was a little confused maybe about the names of some of the people who were in attendance at the Kodak Theater.
Here it is, right in the heart of Hollywood. Let's come on down and show you who's here. There's Philip Seymour Hoffman. Everybody in place right there. Forrest Whitaker. Here's Xavier Bardem. Nice to see him.
You know, good old Xavier, that guy. He's outstanding. So Regis gives way to the opening montage, and then out walks Jon Stewart, who, by the way, I'm always happy to hear is hosting the Oscars.
Yeah, me too.
And I thought he was okay. I don't think it was a great performance last night, although he did, you know, he's funny, and he did keep it moving. And I thought, even though I wasn't happy with him doing as much political stuff as he did, because it seems to me like that's better suited for The Daily Show than it is for the Oscars, I did think he had the line of the night for my money when he talked about Senator Obama in his opening remarks.
You have to give Barack Obama credit. He has overcome a great deal. Not just he is an African-American. Barack Hussein Obama is his name. His middle name is the last name of Iraq's former tyrant. His last name rhymes with Osama. That's not easy to overcome. I think we all remember the ill-fated 1944 presidential campaign of Gadolf Hitler.
Now, let me just say, it may say more about me than it does about him that I find that so funny.
Well, I do, too.
That he got up on national television and said Gadolf Hitler.
He said Hitler has some really good ideas, but he just can overcome
the name.
Let's
talk to Elizabeth in Orange, by the way, who says the Oscars are fabulous.
Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello?
You like the Oscars.
You don't understand how my mother and I make an effort every year not only to watch the Oscars, but the Emmys, the Grammys, the Golden Globes. But we do have an exception. We do not watch the People's Choice Awards because that's just tacky.
Because you got to draw the line someplace.
Exactly.
Now, the people that were on the TV show that were boring us are super necessary, super important, but just doesn't make for good TV. What is it that you thought was the highlight?
You guys are like, well, why do I want to care about best mixed sound or whatever? You
right.
know?
We know it's important, but it's not good TV. That's all.
Well, see, my mom and I, we're weirdos. Like, one year we accidentally, like, got in late, but we were watching Best Costume, and it was one my mom went to high school with and won.
Okay, well, that's a pretty small sample group, though.
Yeah. Right? That did not happen to me last night. No one I went to high school with won an Oscar. But let me ask you about this. What about the freaking 98-year-old who got up on stage for 10 minutes, had to recount in excruciating detail every person he's ever worked with since 1940? What about that guy?
I'm sorry. I found that sweet. I thought that was something to
really admire. I was like, wow. Not possible for me to express my appreciation to the countless people who helped me on this.
And wrap up music, please.
Yeah, no kidding. They don't play off the oldsters, though.
Great trip.
Look, I thought Al Gore was giving this speech.
Wonderful.
That's how boring
journey
this guy was.
Of the...
Yeah, all right. Thank you for the call, Elizabeth. I think you're an odd one.
Xavier Bardem won the Oscar, as he was expected to, as Best Supporting Actor for his outstanding role. One of the great villains in the history of films for No Country for Old Men, and I thought gave a very funny speech.
All right.
This is pretty amazing. It's a great honor for me to have this. I have to speak fast here.
Friendo.
Thank you to the Coens for being crazy enough to think that I could do that and put one of the most horrible haircuts on history over my head.
Friendo.
See, you guys make fun of my impression of Javier Bardem. It sounds a lot like me. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but it's very similar.
That was you.
The most beautiful woman on the red carpet, obviously, was Tilda Swinton, and she won the Best Supporting Actress Award last night, and here she is with a piece of her speech talking about her co-star, George Clooney.
And the Oscar goes to Tilda Swinton.
And George Clooney, you know, the seriousness and the dedication to your art, seeing you climb into that rubber bat suit from Batman and Robin, the one with the nipples, every morning under your costume, on the set, off the set, hanging upside down at lunch. You rock, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Doesn't matter how many Oscars Clooney gets or is nominated for, no one's ever going to let him forget that he was the bad Batman.
He was the Batman with the nipples.
Exactly. Tilda looked good, I thought, last night.
Yeah.
Did you,
oh, what a beauty.
One of the two best speeches of the whole night was Joel and Ethan Coen got up. And they
of
won
being
a ton
in
of
the
Oscars.
Movies.
Actually, we're done with...
but I can thank the...
We're done with Oldie, actually. Ethan Coen gets up. He's accepting the award for best adapted screenplay. And I think this is maybe the perfect speech.
We,
Yes.
Thank you very much.
That's how you handle it. If you don't have gold, just shut the F up.
That's how it should go.
That was very well done, Ethan.
Members of the...
Sir?
Of the Board of Governors of the Academy...
Okay. Thank you very much. Our friends Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill were there last night, and they were trying to make work the tired old comedy of we have to read somebody else's speech, and it's going to sound funny hearing those words come out of our mouth. They did the best they could with it. Here's about 1/100th of how long it actually ended up on the telecast. You'll get the idea.
By now you figured out that Hallie and Dame Judy couldn't be here tonight, so they grabbed us from the audience to fill in.
And since they didn't have time to write something new for us, we're going to use the script they wrote for them. You're Dame Judy. You go first.
Wait. Why am I Dame Judy? Why aren't I Halle Berry?
Are you kidding me, dude? Obviously, I'm Halle Berry. I look more like her.
We look exactly the same, dude. Are you why?
And boy, do they, by the
they
way.
Do.
They
do. It's amazing.
Trans.
I love them, but they didn't
I
move on
them.
At that point, which she would have wanted them.
It did keep going. Look, no Americans won acting awards last night. I don't know if you thought of that or not yet, but all of the winners from the acting categories were from Europe last night. And I had about an ass full of the foreigners up on stage last night who couldn't speak English, who had bad, boring, long speeches. But I do make one exception for the best actress winner, Marianne Cotillard, who won, of course, for La Vie en Rose. Her speech was wonderful and one of the genuinely most touching moments on stage. Most of the winners, I think, like Daniel Day-Lewis, for instance, has won so many awards for his role, it's not a surprise to him anymore. She, you could tell, was genuinely blown away that she won this award and really was impressed by it.
And the Oscar goes to Marion Cotillard.
Well, thank you, life. Thank you, love. And it is true there is some angels in this city. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, I love her so. And Kevin, you saw how beautiful she was last night. You got to see La Vie en Rose and you'll be just so astonished at how good she is in that role, playing a really old, like beat up, ugly,
I saw
you know,
a lot of
tortured
clips.
Woman.
Yeah, it didn't
you
look like
it's the same woman.
Didn't look like a movie I'd like to watch.
Nah, maybe not.
Probably.
Daniel Day-Lewis, as we mentioned, won the Best Actor for his role in There Will Be Blood. And it's funny, as macho as he is in his movies like Kings of New York and like this one, Ralph brings up a good point. Hard to believe it's the same guy.
And the Oscar goes to Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood.
I'm looking at this gorgeous thing that you've given me, and I'm
gorgeous
thinking
thing.
Back to the first devilish whisper of an idea that came to him and everything since, and
devilish.
It seems to me that this sprang like a golden sapling out of the mad, beautiful head of Paul Thomas Anderson.
British people.
Oh, they're polite, and the men all sound gay, but they will rip out your heart.
And finally, the Coen brothers come back one more time. Well, two more, really, because they ended up winning the Best Picture last night for No Country for Old Men. But here's Ethan with a follow-up to his excellent speech from earlier as they were picking up their Best Director prize.
I don't have a lot to add to what I said earlier. Thank you.
I thought that was one of the highlights. So thank God it's over. And Elizabeth, you and me, we differ on last night's show, but at least there won't be any more award shows for a few months. At least we're done with that for a while.
All right, sir, we got to go because we don't have time for the rest of your acceptance speech. Thank you.
Nicole Kidman, who...
Rage Against the Machine in Portugal, by the way, is the grand prize drawing we do Friday morning. Kevin, who's our first qualifying winner of the Rage CD catalog?
That would be Elizabeth Dugagnon from North
Korea. Hey! Hey-oh!
Dugagnon.
Hey!
Elizabeth Doogie Young. That's her name. Yeah.
From Northridge. Northridge. Congratulations. Won all the Rage CDs. Your chance to qualify coming up at the world famous K-Rock. Great news from Ralph and the Showbiz Beat earlier today. The Larry the Cable Guy movie, not only was it number one, as Kevin feared it might be on Friday.
I'm so happy.
Didn't even make the top 10, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Didn't even make the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend, which is fantastic news.
If it looks bad to me, I have horrible movie taste. If it looks bad to me, I mean, that's saying something.
Yes, it
is. I like everything.
However, we do know someone who went to the theater to see it this weekend, and our friend Omar joins us.
DJ Omar Khan.
What's happening, Bean?
How did it happen, dude? What happened?
I just had some free time, and, you know, I was just kind of like, you know, really like bewildered with the fact that people would actually go see this movie, you know, and I'm way on board with Ralph. You know, this guy really needs to die. So I wanted to go down there and berate people. You know,
okay.
I thought it'd be funny.
It's so funny because you see movie trailers and you either think, hey, that looks good, I'd like to go see that. Or you think, eh, not really for me. Or you think, and then this is the case with Larry the Cable Guy, how did that movie get made and who is the audience for that? Why would anyone go see that movie? Because it looks like, even from the trailer, that it's doing everything it can to make sure no one does want to go see it.
Right, absolutely. And then, you know, Kevin was saying, oh, it's going to be number one. So I was like, oh, my God. So I need to go talk to these people if there's going to be people down there. Get to the theater. By the way, I live in 909.
Mm-hmm.
What other? Oh. There's no perfect, more perfect
there
place
people.
To go.
People.
Exactly, right.
So now, but you're the guy who likes Tim Allen. So, I mean, why do you have any room to speak?
I do love the Tim Allen.
You like Tim Allen.
I know. That's my comedy weakness.
You
but,
think?
Yeah. But, I mean, even you like bad movies like Master of Disguise or whatever that.
Oh,
you
don't
know,
get me started.
You know what I'm saying?
Should have won the Oscar.
So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, give me some leeway.
All
but
right.
I'm not bad enough to like the Witless Protection.
All right. Where'd you go? What theater?
Ontario Mills.
Ontario Mills.
Dude. Ontario. Oh, yeah. Right down the street where the big NASCAR race was happening over the weekend.
Sure.
So I thought there was no better place, and I wanted to check out what kind of people were there.
I need to see that awful redneck movie, the
Willis Protection.
I need to see that, but I don't want my own money going towards that. So is it cool if I get a ticket to Fool's Gold, but actually go into Willis Protection? Because you know it's going to be a bad movie, right?
Yeah.
Why did you guys choose to see this movie?
By the way, before we get to this guy, I would like to mention that I thought Omar made this longer. This guy that he's about to interview?
I had to tighten it up.
You shortened this guy.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Why did you guys choose to see this movie? Okay, what other movies do you consider good comedies?
Oh, my God.
I can't think of...
So do you guys think, like, White Chicks is funny?
Yeah.
Do you guys like Tim Allen at all?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you guys see any of the Santa Claus movies? Did you guys like those?
Yeah, we took the kids to see all of them.
You guys got pretty good taste, all right? Did you guys enjoy, like, White Chicks?
Yeah.
Did you guys see Freddy Got Fingered?
I've seen it.
Do you think it was funny?
Yeah.
Are you guys Tim Allen fans at all?
No.
What the hell's wrong with you? Are you into NASCAR at all?
Yes.
Have you seen Freddy Got Fingered, White Chicks, Who's Your Caddy, or Glitter?
White Chick.
What do you think about White Chicks?
It was funny.
Oh. Really.
What do you think about Tim Allen?
He's funny.
What the hell does Get Her Done mean?
Just get it done.
Oh.
Get what done?
Just get it done.
Hey, Kevin, I mean, I'm inside the theater. Just saw the third NASCAR commercial. Are you a fan of 40-Year-Old Virgin or Knocked Up?
No.
Did you see White Chicks?
Yes.
Did you think that was funny?
That was funny.
All right, Kevin Bean, previews just started. Movie's going to start in about 10 minutes. There's a total of 11 people inside the theater, including myself. This movie's going to suck. About halfway through the movie. I want to kill myself. Did you guys enjoy the film?
Yep. Good.
What was the best part?
I don't know.
Did you like the part where they were lighting farts?
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff right there, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, that's the guy who liked Tim Allen.
Yeah. Yeah, if there was one guy I was going to interview after the movie, it was this guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But now I gotta rethink this whole Tim Allen thing.
No kidding.
I think I'm out. I gotta be out after this.
That
right?
guy's on your side.
Yeah, I'm out. Ooh, I'm
good
out.
Work.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. Ralph, what's going on? What are you talking about?
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Vantage Point was the big winner.
$24 million, made it number one at the box office. Double.
How is that, Kevin? That's Forrest Whitaker, right?
It was good.
Who I love.
Forrest. No, it wasn't really good.
It was good.
It was
good.
Okay.
It was okay.
It wasn't great.
Yeah.
They show you from each vantage point, of course. So they go back to noon, and then they go back to noon, and then they go back to noon, and they show you through each person's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. It was okay.
Just okay. All right.
Yeah.
Jumper was number two at the box office, made less than half of the number one movie. $12 million was good enough to make it number two. The Spiderwick Chronicles was number three. Step Up to the Streets was number four. It's good. They're dancing. A lot of dancing is good dancing.
And how about the dialogue?
His dancing was good. Fool's Gold was number five. Definitely Maybe came in at number six. At number seven, Be Kind, Rewind. Number eight was Juno.
Juno?
Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins was number nine. And There Will Be Blood rounding out your top ten at the box office.
Rodney?
I drink your milkshake.
Uncanny. Captures Daniel like Day-Lewis. Speaking of Daniel Day-Lewis, or DDL as we call him.
Who calls him
Nobody
that?
Calls you know, him that. You know, around the campfires.
No one. No campfire.
There is a campfire. See the movie? There's lots of campfires. People drilling for oil, drinking coffee over.
Not
a campfire.
Calling him DDL though.
He pulled in the actor award last night at the Oscars, best actor for his role in There Will Be Blood. Rodney, what's he sound like?
I drink your milkshake.
That sound like a gay.
Best director. No surprise there. The Coen brothers picked up their awards for No Country for Old Men, also won Best Picture and Best Adapted Screenplay. So, big night for the Coen brothers. Best Original Screenplay went to Diablo Cody for Juno.
Juno!
Best Animated Feature was Ratatouille. And Javier Bardem, also no surprise for Best Supporting Actor for his role in No Country for Old Men. Big surprises came in the ladies' categories. Marion Cotillard won for her performance as Edith Piaf in La Vie en Rose.
I don't know any of those words.
I'm not surprised.
And Best Supporting Actress was Tilda Swinton for her role in Michael Clayton.
Pig.
Oh, not again. We're not even going to start on this conversation Hideous. Again.
Kevin Sorry. Has a disproportionate amount of hate for her because he doesn't think she's attractive enough to be at the Oscars.
No, she's trying to ugly it up.
Got an interesting email here from Ryan in Covina on that topic. Isn't the Kevin the guy who bleaches his hair in a natural blonde and purposely wore shorts to the Grammys? Who's trying to be more aggressively unattractive at an award show? Kevin asked, don't people try to dress up for the Oscars? Well, don't people they usually do. Wear pants to the Grammys?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we hate what we are, Kevin, Ryan, and Covina. So.
It's top-notch
Kevin,
gay.
Kevin is not attractive enough for radio, yet he's complaining about Tilda being on the Oscars.
But I'm not saying I'm an award winner. She's at the awards.
You did go
she
to the Grammys in shorts, though.
Yeah, but I was working, sort of.
But people usually wear pants to award shows.
Yeah, whatever.
You, but I'm you not purposely said, oh, I'm not going to wear pants. Look at me. I'm cool.
No, I wasn't saying look at me. Bean and I were hiding in the back. I didn't know we were on TV.
When you were walking the red carpet, you didn't know you might have been on TV?
I guess we might have, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
Look how ugly Tilda Swinton is. Dear God.
No, that's Conan O'Brien. That's the Conan picture.
Conan O'Brien with AIDS?
Yeah. All right. It's David Bowie, the man who fell to Earth. Speaking of the Oscars, romance blooming at the after parties.
Oh, tell me.
Sean Penn did pretty well for himself. Apparently, Sean has spent the evening with Petra Nemkova.
Oh, nice.
The newly right, single then. Sean showed up on the red carpet with Petra, who's 28, by the way. He's 47. And attended Elton John's Oscar party afterwards, spending the entire evening together. So, good on you, Sean.
I think Petra is my favorite supermodel. Not that anyone cares, but she is my number one.
She's my favorite palm tree model, that's for sure.
Oh, she's
no
terrific.
No one wears a palm tree like she does.
Not a palm tree
Dude,
model.
Once she was naked and she was just wearing a palm tree, it was nuts.
It was a disaster, Ralph.
She was a tsunami victim, actually. It wasn't not intentional that she was hanging onto that palm tree.
She's not a model of palm trees.
Really?
No. Oh. I don't think there are any, as a matter of fact.
Well, she should start, because she made that look good.
She's good at it.
She makes a shattered pelvis look great.
Oh, come on.
She looks so good, and all the girls were shattering their pelvises on the catwalk the next season.
Is that right?
Fat yeah. girl's fat.
Whoops, really that was so on. The wrong button.
What?
I meant to hit this one.
That's what she said.
That's what I meant to hear.
Oh.
Much better.
Well, we'll fix that in post.
That's what sure. she said?
There you go. That's the way it should be done.
Also, a word weekend was speculating that Angelina Jolie is indeed expecting another child. It was pretty much hard to ignore at the Spirit Awards on Saturday when she showed up with a fairly tight dress and just sporting the baby bump out there for all to see. So People Magazine apparently has confirmed the fact they are definitely expecting another child and are thrilled at the future addition of what is now their 14th child for Angelina.
That's what
and
they
Brad.
Needed was another kid.
Congratulations to them.
Speaking of the Spirit Awards, by the way,
yes?
How great was Rainn Wilson as the host of that show?
I didn't see it.
I
he was pretty good.
I don't know. We can't confirm or deny it. Because I didn't see it.
That was a strange delivery.
He had some very funny. I was just being emphatic because I thought he did a terrific job. He had some very funny taped pieces that he done ahead of time, and also did an excellent job from the stage. And the show, just to show you how different it is from the Oscars, did end with him running into the audience and pretty much bum rushing Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That's time somebody did.
That's right.
A fraud, freaking Hoffman, with his acting good. Today's celebrity birthday is Sally Jesse Raphael, who is 65 years old today. Used to have her own talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Used to wear big red glasses.
Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7.
Huge head.
K-R-O-Q. Your phone calls are coming up next at 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
Psycho Mike has been spreading all over this radio station like a virus. For a while, he was confined just to our show in the back of the room, and then he increasingly is forcing himself on the air during the Kevin and Bean hours. And now you're on what? Like Saturday nights, Sunday nights? You're filling in for Nicole. We can't get away from you, right, Mike?
Friday nights.
You got it, buddy. Full-fledged takeover.
Tell us about your run-in with Rodney, Rodney loves us.
Last night, I'm filling in for Nicole, who's on vacation, and about 6:30, I'm on from 5 to 9, and about 6:30 in the evening, Rodney walks in the door.
6:30.
What time is his show?
Midnight.
Why is he here at 6:30?
I don't know.
So he walked into the studio.
I said, "What's up, Rodney? How you doing, man?" "Hi, yeah." And he just starts spreading CDs all over, like a crate of CDs, and just hangs out.
He's got to set up.
Sits in Lisa's chair where she is at, right, and just
wait.
Kinda...
He's in. He doesn't just show up to the station. You mean he's in the studio at 6:30?
In the studio.
Okay, wow. Dude, that's distracting.
Now,
when
does
you're
he
trying
recognize
to do a radio show?
Does he recognize you as the guy who threw him up against the fence?
No way. Because he would definitely have said something.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's just hanging out, and for up until I got off the air at 9 o'clock, he just was sitting there looking at me.
The whole time?
We were watching, and he said one unprovoked word to me, and he's like, "Can we watch the Oscars?" Because I was watching the Laker game.
Right.
And he had me change to the Oscars, and we kind of sat here and watched the Oscars, and I did my shift.
Why didn't you say to him, as almost anyone else would, "Hey, do you mind waiting in the other room? Because I'm kind of busy in here doing a radio show."
He's silent, and it's not like it was
Mike
bothering me.
Mike loves him.
Yeah,
and rightfully so.
Well, and I was the whole time thinking of a way to get drops out of him, and I was recording off the air, so thinking maybe he'd say stuff that I could use, you know, as ammo, but he didn't say anything. He was completely silent. Every time I tried to talk to him, he'd just put his head down.
Right.
So finally, once I was about...
He just put his head down.
Seriously, dude. So finally, with about like a half hour left in the shift, about 8:30, I was like, "Hey, Rodney, you want to talk about your show?"
Oh, good.
And he goes, yeah, it's my special name-dropping show. And I didn't know what that meant, but there was like 15 seconds left in the song. We were about to go into music bed, so I just turned on the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, and this is on the air then, what we're about
so
to
I
hear.
Just hit the mic and I, you know, do my spiel, and this is what came out.
Yeah, there you have it. The number one song of K-Rock's top 10 list of songs from the video game Rock Band. I'm Psycho Mike. I'm joined by radio legend Rodney Bingenheimer. What's happening, Rodney? Oh, wait, 1 second.
What happened?
Okay.
Was Kevin running the controls?
He's sitting in Lisa's seat. The microphone is 4 inches away from his face.
Right. Did you not turn it on?
I did.
You did
turn it on. And instead of just talking to that mic, he goes, and he looks at me all confused as if not knowing he was going to talk in the air.
Right.
And gets up and walks around to the other side of the console and starts talking on this mic.
Why?
He doesn't realize this mic works.
The one that's right in front of his face.
He was just it was cool because he really sold it too. He like put his face to this mic like a young Gary Payton pump fake. I'm like, good. this mic's on, and then he's like, bam, I'm out, and he went over here. I don't know why he did it after the I was done off the air. I said, why would you? I like this mic better. I think it's louder. I think someone's louder.
Oh my god!
Could have told me that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so
Rodney Bingenheimer, what's happening, Rodney? Oh wait, 1 second. Wrong mic. There you go. Try that one more time.
Well, I'm getting ready to do my show.
I apologize.
It's on at midnight right after Loveline.
That's right.
It's my name-dropping show. It's my salute to the Oscars.
Salute to the Oscars. That's right.
And so all the music I'm going to be playing is going to be songs with stars' names in it.
Okay. Is there a worse idea ever?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I don't mind. I like shows like that. I think those are creative.
I
and
know
they
do.
Can be interesting. But it's funny that it's 8:30 now, and Rodney has already been there for 2 hours preparing for a show that starts in 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Johnny Depp got a song, Julie Christie, Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, John Travolta.
Michael Dudikoff.
Yeah, it's all there.
Now, why don't you explain to people who Michael Dudikoff is?
He was the star of the series of movies in the 80s called American Ninja.
And Rodney says it's all there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Very cool. Have you ever played Rock Band? Because we just did the top 10 Rock Band songs. You ever played the video game Rock Band?
Does he strike you as a guy who ever played Rock Band?
No, exactly.
No,
I was just trying to mind for comedy.
No, I'm terrible at it. What do you think about Daniel Day-Lewis just getting the number one? He's the man right now, the best actor.
That's what I like about Psycho Mike. He's completely forgotten about the K-Rock audience.
Yeah.
And is focusing on the fact that he's got Rodney in the hot seat.
Yeah.
And he's got to figure out a way to make him talk.
But I think even the
K-Rock, give you props for that.
I think even the K-Rock audience, at least the small fraction of them that listens to our show at that time of night, is going, okay, I know, I get you.
Yeah.
I know what you're doing.
Yes, he's pretty cool.
Have you seen There Will Be Blood?
No, I haven't.
There's the catchphrase in There Will Be Blood is, I drink your milkshake. Let me hear your rendition.
Come on. He hasn't even seen it, and Mike's setting him up. Let me hear it.
I drink your milkshake.
That was the best ever. Fantastic. The lovely, the beautiful, the sultry Kat Corbett.
Come on. Drink your milkshake. Come on.
He gave it his all,
he
too.
He did.
That's all Rodney's got right there.
I drink your milkshake.
That is good work right there, Psycho Mike.
Thanks, dude.
Good
work.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Every once in a while, when you call 1-800-520-1068, we give you not one, but two prizes. And today, another example of prizes that go together so perfectly, you'll wonder why you never thought of them together before. You got dinner from KFC, along with the director's cut on DVD of Beowulf. How about that? From Paramount Home Entertainment, available on DVD everywhere tomorrow. So please enjoy.
It's the Kevin and Bean's Chicken and Monster Special.
That's a great tie-in.
It is.
All right, let's begin with Brian in Valencia. Good morning, Brian. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do, nephew?
Hey, baby boo.
Hey, Brian.
What's going on?
Hey, this is one you're
going
to love, Lisa.
Okay.
All right. Tilda, evidently, she lives in a menage a trois. She's got her 68-year-old father of her twins, John Bryan.
Yeah.
And the guy sitting next to her was her 29-year-old artist boyfriend. And they all live in the same house in Scotland.
No kidding.
Her former husband and current boyfriend all live in the same house?
I don't think it's her husband. I think it's her partner, as described in the article. And this is from the Daily Mail.
Yeah, it's true. She's got an open marriage, and she lives with the older dude who is the father of her children. And then she met this new guy who she fell in love with, and the old guy's okay with it, and they have an open relationship, so she's with the young dude as well.
How about that?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about ugly women, what about that costume designer for Elizabeth the Golden Age last night? Wow.
She was dork-alicious.
By the way, the first thing I thought, and please, I hope she doesn't take offense, is that's our little friend Kennedy in 50 years. She's going to look exactly like it. Kennedy looks beautiful today, but 50 years from now, she's going to look just like that woman.
If
that
she
was on
stopped
stage
eating
last night.
For 50 years. Yeah, she was not attractive. But Tilda took the cake.
But it's interesting. You're not ragging on her so much, but Tilda, you have mad hate for, Kevin. I don't understand
she's
the distinction.
Aggressively ugly. Let's say
Kevin
good morning.
Don't like them hippies.
Let's say
them
good morning.
Free loving communists.
To Gene in Fullerton. Good morning, Gene.
Hey, what it do, guys?
What it do?
What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Gene.
So basically, one of my buddies, he was an audio tech guy for Gangs in New York when they were shooting that with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And apparently, Daniel Day-Lewis refuses to get out of character throughout the whole shoot. And apparently on that particular shoot, they had to send him to the emergency room because he was suffering from pneumonia, and he refused to put on a heavy coat because it didn't fit with the time area of the shoot. So,
really? So
yeah,
he was willing to get sick for his craft.
Yes, indeed he was. And he's very well deserving of the Best Actor Award this year, too, because he was just as intense for There Will Be Blood.
So. Yeah. Well, especially when he said,
I drink your milkshake.
That was amazing. You
know? He does famously commit to his roles, doesn't he, Ralph? And then he takes years off in between, too.
He only works every once in a while to come out to get an Oscar, and then he goes back into his hole.
Yeah. What, like every 3 or 4 years?
Depends on the script. You have to really sell him on a movie to make him come out of retirement. He retires after every film. And if
this one's been 5 years.
Something compels him enough to go back to work, then he'll do it. But ordinarily, he just has no interest.
Let's go to Zach in Hollywood. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Yes.
Wanted to know if either of you guys or Lisa saw Gary Busey on the E-coverage.
Oh, I saw it on the online today. And he's scary, isn't he?
Frightening, terrifying man.
Yeah.
Just ask Jennifer Garner. She'll tell you how scary he is.
Jennifer Garner was on the red carpet. She was being interviewed by, I believe, Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, Laura Linney was next to her.
Laura Linney, right. And Gary Busey walked up and said, hey, it's you, and started hugging him, and it looked like she was going to start calling for security.
Well, Ryan threw her under the bus. He comes up to Laura Linney to say congratulations on the nomination, and Ryan's like, hey, Gary, do you know Jennifer Garner here?
Did
you
that?
Know Jennifer Garner?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't hear
and
that.
And Jennifer Garner's giving him the stink eye, like, what are you, nuts? Don't do this. And that's when Busey grabs her and starts kissing her neck and starts going all over the place.
Ah. She's looking like she just needs to be rescued.
And Laura Linney had
it.
Laura Linney ran her off.
The Oscars.
What was he doing at the Oscars? I don't know.
He's an Oscar winner.
How is that possible?
He won an Oscar for the Buddy Holly story.
No.
Yeah?
Not
sure.
Last night, Zach, but yeah. Okay. Thank you for the call.
I mean, his head is in between my legs.
Well, that happened right afterwards. Yeah, that was pretty scary, too.
Let's change the subject. Let's go to Alfonso in Glendale.
Hey,
what's going on?
Hey, did anybody catch the Jackass this weekend?
Hell yeah.
Oh, dude, Bam Margera was rocking the fingers of gloves.
Oh, don't say that.
That's right.
That's right.
All the cool kids are doing
it. It's already hard to live with Dave.
No, everybody's cool who's doing it.
How much of it did you watch, Alfonso? I know it was on for 24 hours.
I think I watched about 17, 18 hours.
Jeez.
Dude. Wow, is your life empty. How do you have that much time to watch that?
Well, I started at noon Saturday, and I went till about 1:30 in the morning.
But
Sunday.
Wait a minute. Did you record it so that you could fast forward and see the highlights?
No, I watched it live.
Watch it live.
Oh, my
Dude.
God.
What was your favorite thing that you saw on the Jackass weekend?
The Evel Knievel tribute was pretty cool, but the midgets shocking themselves in the ass was pretty funny.
Okay, I'll have to look
doesn't
for
get any better than that.
Apparently, Steve-O... like opted out at 3 a.m. He was in such bad condition. MTV
really?
Had him drop out. Like, so I
no
want to know what's going on with that.
Yeah,
Steve in rough shape early in the morning.
Doesn't sound like him.
Can we talk close with?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask make a request if we could talk to Marvin real quick from Pomona.
Marvin, good morning.
I'm fascinated by this. I'm dying to see how this turns out.
Yes. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Going to Celebrity Rehab reunion show tonight.
Oh,
no
I wish
kidding.
I could be there.
And I want to know what question I should ask if given the option.
Is Jeff Conaway dead?
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, you'll see whether he shows up tonight or not, but they're
I
bringing
guess.
Everybody back.
How long has it been since they finished filming this?
Gosh, four?
Has it been months?
Yeah, it's been a few months. So I guess they'll find out who's still on the wagon and who's not, but you know Conaway's just going to roll in.
Well, he
with
left.
Spinners on his wheelchair.
He left going, coast. I can't wait to get some painkillers in me.
I know. Yeah. That show's been fascinating this year.
It has. It's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't just say that because Dr. Drew's a friend, but it is a really good show.
I heard Baldwin's out the wagon already.
Yeah.
That would surprise me.
Yeah.
That's not a surprise.
And that airs tonight where? On
No, it's taped tonight.
They're filming it tonight.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It airs on Thursday
I believe
nights
so,
on VH1.
VH1, yeah.
Such a good show.
All right. That's a good tip, Marvin. Thank you very much for the call on that. All right, no guest today per se to thank. However, that all changes tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, we have Funny Man Jay Moore in the studio. He's always fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk to President Hu in China. I don't know if you've been watching this, but they are really...
I'm sorry, who?
Yeah. They are really... Rouse is shaking his head. No. They're really trying to step things up ahead of the Olympics. And
who is?
President Hu...
Exactly.
We may have to bail on this right now. Has presented 8 principles to the people of China to try and get them to behave a little bit more properly. Don't spit.
Who did?
Yes.
Don't spit. Let old people sit down. Ridiculous stuff that you shouldn't have to say. That he
who said that?
Oh dear God!
Him right in the head. Put him in the basement.
And we also found another song. I don't know why sports teams do this. I don't know why the Lakers had one called "Don't Do It." Was that the name of it?
Just say no.
Just
to
say
drugs.
No to drugs, which was horrible. We found the Dodgers one, the baseball boogie.
tomorrow morning.
Fantastic.
Pedro Guerrero doesn't speak English and yet has a solo.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't about That's not doing great. Drugs, is it?
No. No.
With Pedro Guerrero.
No, this is actually a party anthem.
It's a baseball boogie, right. Dude.
That makes more sense.
And we'll continue to qualify you for a K-Rock's World Tour, which is Rage Against the Machine in Lisbon, Portugal.
Stay tuned now for the amazing Tammy Heidi.
Nope. Cat Corbett coming up next, 40 minutes nonstop. K-Rock, how about the Airborne Toxic event? Local band with their new song sometime around midnight. Also, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Rise Against, Rage, Finger 11, and yes, Johnny Cash. All coming up on K-Rock.
I drink your milkshake.